is no better place.
It's time to talk.
The only way to get anything done in Cork is to be onto the Neil Prendeville,
you know? Fair play.
Talk to Neil Prendeville.
That's a Cork threat at this stage, I think.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
I just love Cork people.
Conversation that matters.
I certainly do, so be part of the conversation. Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. Paperwise this morning, you guessed it, you got it. It's dominating all of the front pages. The announcement, the bombshell, if you like, that was dropped yesterday just after midday by Leo Varadkar. With a tremor in his voice, the bombshell came. I'm no longer the best person to lead the country. Front page of the Mail today. Stuns the nation by walking away from power. The Examiner, it's pretty much the entire front page of the Examiner. There's a small second story on the front page, but apart from that, it's the entire front page. And the Examiner is a big paper. After 7 years in office, I'm no longer the best person. Exit stage Leo is the front of this morning's Sun. And of course, already they are speculating as to who will succeed him. Front of the Star, it's Dáil ends in tears. Emotional Leo, I'm no longer the best person. Now, of course, we do know that even started happening yesterday afternoon. I stayed on the air for an extra hour yesterday. So all of the independents coming out looking for a general election. Fianna Fáil don't want a general election, incidentally, but certainly Sinn Féin and certainly all of the independents. Harris front runner after Varadkar blindsides the coalition is the front of this morning's independent. And then they talk on the inside pages of the Indo, the five great moments of triumph for Varadkar and five moments he'd rather forget. Some of the highs involve, of course, Varadkar becoming the youngest ever Taoiseach in 2017 at the age of 38. He came out publicly as gay in 2015 when he was Minister for Health, and he was applauded for that. I'm a gay man. It's just part of who I am. It doesn't define me. He campaigned for the yes vote for the controversial abortion referendum and also for the yes vote for the marriage equality referendum. And he hailed the results, saying something has been awakened in the Irish people. So they were some of the highs. The lows then were the controversy surrounding the leaking of a confidential GP contract to a friend. That was one of them. He apologised for that. Another one was defending the use of the term slow learners when he referred to Sinn Féin and their policies. Another one they say was a low was his battle with Simon Coveney to become leader of Fine Gael. And then, of course, more recently on Virgin Media's 6 o'clock show, when he said that looking after the elderly, he said, I don't actually think that the state's responsibility for that, to be honest. And of course, that absolutely put the cat among the pigeons when it came to the referendum votes then, because people were saying, hang on a second, this is very, very suspect. There are other highs and lows which I'll come back to throughout the course of the night. But what happens next? They got to elect a leader of Fine Gael. And after that, then, they have to elect a Taoiseach. And Fine Gael have to decide as to who they're going to put forward as Taoiseach. So that whoever that is, Simon Harris. Then they go to the Dáil, and it's all voted within Dáil Éireann and indeed the Shannon. So they break it down in the Mail this morning as to what happens next by piece by piece. But the Examiner's front page says Harris is tipped to take over as Fine Gael leader after Varadkar's resignation. I think words to the effect that Simon Coveney said last night that he had one shot at it and that was it, and he made it public knowledge when he didn't get the leadership last time that he wouldn't be running at it again. So it looks like Simon Harris, that's what the bookies are saying. They give him 5-1 after him for Pascal Donoghue, 8-1 for Helen McEntee, 14-1 then for Heather Humphreys, and 50-1 for Hildegard Nocton. So if anybody does take on Simon Harris, don't you think it would be Pascal Donoghue? But probably not. In the UK then, the English Times is saying that the ambitious young moderniser ended up looking out of touch. So that's what they're saying in the English papers, or at least the Times, that he was ambitious but ended up out of touch. It's a fitting way for the box office Taoiseach to bow down, says the Mirror this morning. You know, make an announcement, spring it upon everybody, box office kind of statement to make and take everybody's surprise and blindside people. They also talk in this morning's Star on his love of showbiz culture and the amount of times that he brought showbiz culture into his top role as Taoiseach of the country. Pop culture, if you like, the visit to Downing Street when he said it reminded him of Hugh Grant dancing down the stairs in Love Actually. Kind of somewhat cringy reaction to that. Gerry Adams got very annoyed when he said that. He said it was not exactly in the spirit of Michael Collins, was it? And then there was other stuff. You know, I mean, he can go and have dinner with her every once, but the star's making a big deal out of the fact that he went out and had dinner with George Clooney. Others are reminding us that he left a note for Kylie Minogue saying that he could call over to visit her in the hotel if she was free. And that he was looking forward to a concert. I suppose it showed that he was human, I suppose, and loved his music, and he was maybe like all the rest of us, in awe of superstars. He became under fire from political colleagues when they told him he should be worrying less about your Kylie concert and more about the desperate housing situation in this country. And then when lockdown hit, he was very quick to make references to different films, including Mean Girls and Lord of the Rings, and his speeches and things like that. But anyway, I suppose that's all yesterday's news. Now, there's a lot of cartoony type GIFs online. The best of them that I ever saw with regards to his resignation is from a fellow called Paddy Raff. Paddy Raff Comedy. It's a photograph of Leo Varadkar with the caption, "Most Irish people under the age of 40 will always remember where they were when they heard about Leo Varadkar's resignation. They were either in their parents' box room or in Australia, if they're lucky." Now, that speaks a thousand words. Now, I know Lidl have an ad up saying, "We will consider your job application, Leo. Apply online." And they have Leo superimposed in a Lidl uniform. It's about a bit of fun. There's another one then from West Cork Connect saying our new bus driver starts tomorrow and it's Leo behind the wheel of a bus. I'm sure he'll take that as how it's meant. Just a bit of fun. So there's all that and lots more besides. And I'll come back to that throughout the course of the morning. But I'd love to get your thoughts on it. I know we stayed on the air for an hour extra yesterday, but didn't really get time to talk to you guys with regards to this. So text 0868104106. What do you make of this and what should happen next? Pick up the phone on 0818104106. The scourge of shoplifting continues on Leaside, and it would appear that people would rob anything. These are allegations against a 27-year-old man, allegations of several shoplifting offences, including one in particular last week where he allegedly stole a leg of lamb and 9 bottles of vodka. So that's one that will come before the courts for at least a hearing. And then there was a 2-month prison sentence given for abusive behaviour towards a librarian. Nobody in their place of work should have to put up with any kind of messing like this. And people in retail are telling me that people are getting more angry and stressed and more anxious and more abusive to staff, which is kind of sad. But the story regarding the librarian, it's a librarian wearing glasses left shaken after a man walked into the library and told him, "I'll puck those effing 4 eyes down your throat," according to the court. Now, this individual, a fellow called Richard O'Brien, with an address at the Simon community, he's got a difficult life anyway to begin with. He got a 2-month prison sentence for that. It was a previous occasion as well. The same fellow came to the attention of the Gardaí walking down the Grand Parade with a knife in his hand. He dropped the knife when he observed that the Gardaí had him spotted, but he got 2 months for, you can't be saying that to people. You just can't be threatening people anywhere. But unfortunately, all too often in Cork City, we're seeing stories of these kind of things. There is some good news. Very sad to hear that Farmgate, I saw the sign up, was walking, doing the tour of Middleton not too long after the bad flooding down there. And there was a sign up in Farmgate, the restaurant, saying closed. Thank you for your custom. Good news to report, though. Farmgate are going to do it again and resurrect next time in Lismore in County Waterford. So best of luck to Marog, daughter Sally, and all involved. They lost everything. Everything was destroyed in the entire big restaurant, and they thought they'd never come back when the rivers burst their banks, but they will come back. Not sure when, but fabulous restaurant, great food, and good luck to them. Isn't it amazing the amount of people are talking now about decriminalizing drugs, because the way we handle it now just isn't working. We're certainly not tackling the importation and distribution of it. So I was interested to see in the Mirror this morning, the Green Party TD, Nessa Horrigan, say that she's taken cocaine twice, and ecstasy, and she's called for the decriminalisation of heroin. It's an interview in Hot Press. She talks frankly about taking cocaine and ecstasy. She says marijuana and sex work should be legalised and controlled. She says cocaine and heroin should be decriminalised. She was asked an interesting question. The obvious question is, have you taken any of these things yourself? She said, well, with regards to cocaine, I tried it twice and I didn't like it. I tried it twice and I liked it so much, I didn't try it again. She says, that's the scary thing. I didn't like myself on cocaine. I was like a hyper version of myself and it gave me a fright. I love when people are open and honest about things like this. There are other stories then with regards to Easter and issues like that and whether we're happy as a country or not, which I'll come back to throughout the course of the morning. But in conscious of time, because I want to get as much by way of calls on air, particularly listeners, so do get involved. Text 0868104106. But also have a look at the political fallout of this resignation announcement of Leo Varadkar yesterday. More on that and lots more besides after the break.
Call Neil now. 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Thanks to 0868 104 106. I did request a conversation this morning with Simon Coveney. I haven't heard anything back from him yet. I also required the same of Micheál Martin, but he is in the Dáil from 9 this morning on his feet, so he says he's not in a position to talk this morning, but there you go. Text 0868 104 106. But from Fine Gael, I do have Colin Burke, TD, who joins me by WhatsApp. Colin, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Why do you think, and I'm quoting the papers this morning, it's on the front page of many, why do you think that Leo Varadkar would say, and the headline is, after 7 years in office, I am no longer the best person for the job? Why would he feel, do you think, that he's no longer the best person for the job?
Well, I think he's come to the conclusion, look, he's given it, so, you know, he's in a ministerial role in Taoiseach since 2011. It is a very demanding job to do. And I think he felt that he has given everything that he can at this stage, and it's time to hand over to someone new. And remember, you know, when we came into power in 2011, we had huge unemployment. We had a collapsed building industry. We had a lot of challenges. And we had 50,000 people a year leaving the country. So we had to deal with that challenge. We've turned it around in the sense that there's now 800,000 more jobs here in this country compared to 2011. The population of the country has increased by over 40% in the last 23 years. And there are new challenges that have to be dealt with. And he felt that it was time to hand over to someone who wants to take on those challenges and deliver for the general public and for the population of this country.
I don't know, do you guys live in cloud cuckoo land sometimes if you really think that you've turned the country around? Look at the aspects regarding housing. You're talking about people who were emigrating from Ireland to new places. So they're going more now in their droves than they ever were before.
No, the figures on this, Neil, are quite clear. In the 5 years up to 2023, there were 138,000 people left the country. There was 144,000 Irish people came back. So people now have a choice of jobs.
Are you saying that young people aren't leaving Ireland in their droves for Australia?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you look at the figures, the number of people left.
You're out of touch, man.
No. I'm not, because if you look at the recent reports from a lot of countries, like for instance, Australia at the moment, there's complaints there now that they can't reach their targets in relation to housing. They had 900,000 people into the country in the last 12 months, and they now have huge difficulties as well. So it's not just to Ireland.
So that answers my point. A lot of them are Irish people. The Australian police force are over here recruiting Gardaí.
Housing's in crisis, health's in crisis, crime's off the charts.
The Gardaí are in chaos.
And Neil, I've had people from New Zealand who were trained police officers in New Zealand who have come back and applied for jobs here in Ireland as Gardaí. So it's going both ways, and this is the choice that young people now have. There, as I said to you, there's over 800,000 more people now working in the country compared to 2011. We have an increase of population of 40%, and remember, it's the first time in 170 years.
People can't get to see a doctor. Children can't get appointments. People can't afford rent. We are dealing with
the issue in relation to doctors. For instance, the number of GPs being trained has gone up from 280 to 250. We're also increasing the number of people.
When I hear anybody, particularly the current government, saying that they did so many wonderful things, they have to challenge that, like, because the average person on the street just wouldn't agree with that. They just wouldn't.
But Neil, look at this. Look at Cork alone. Look at all of the companies. Like, for instance, you take Apple Computers. They have over 6,000 people working. They're now doing an extension to creating another 1,400 jobs up there. You look at all of the other companies in Cork that have continued to increase. And one of the problems now that employers have is that they cannot get employees because of the fact that there is such a competition to get people in. Like you take even the restaurant trade, for instance, you go up and just taking Apple computers as an example, you know, the restaurant trade have major challenges in getting people. Part of that problem is because the likes of Apple computers, for instance, have over 50 chefs employed above their facility in the north side of the city. So there's a lot of challenges there, but there's a lot of good things happening. And yes, there is a challenge in ratio housing, but there's a challenge in ratio housing in every other jurisdiction.
And is it a case that maybe he said that he's no longer the person to continue in the job because he failed on housing?
Well, you see, we've turned around housing in the sense that the biggest challenge that we've had in housing is the number of people in the construction sector has decreased quite substantially. People actually physically work in the construction sector has decreased. And that is the challenge that we have in housing, in that you talk to any builder at the moment, they are finding it difficult to get employees. The amount of houses and residential units being built has increased substantially. We have a challenge in relation to, say, building apartments. And say, if I build, say, 200 apartments, it should cost me, say, 110, 115 million. Pension funds will only invest about 90 million in a project like that. Therefore, okay, there is a problem about the costing of building projects like that. Government have stepped in. They're now putting in 25% towards the building of some of those projects, okay, in order to help them to be delivered.
I would expect you to accentuate the positive. I accept that. Fine Gael have lost, since last year, at least 10 TDs now, so that they won't contest the next general election. I'm just mentioning that. I know you're heading to the Dáil now, but what happens next with Fine Gael, who seem to be in chaos with their own TDs alone, who don't want to run in the next general election?
Yeah.
Is there going to be a contest?
If you look at the TDs that are not going forward, you take Richard Bruton, he's given 40 years of his life as a TD. I don't think you can expect people to give more than that. And I mean, you know, there are some of the TDs have been there quite a long time. So they were in opposition, they were in government, and they feel it's time now.
But at least, I know I dealt with this on the air yesterday, some of them are at least saying, because it's just that it's got too tough and it's got too toxic and there's too much hate and it's an invasion of privacy and online trolling and things like that. Would you acknowledge that?
Well, yeah, it's difficult. But I will say, in fairness, in relation to my own constituency in North Central, I have not had a huge difficulty in that issue. Some people have in different constituencies, but I'm very lucky in Cork North Central that has not happened to me.
Okay.
And to my staff. And I hope that it doesn't happen, because some of the things that some members have put up with is just appalling. And in particular, where a member of Dáil Éireann or Shannon Éireann has a young family, and they have to make a decision then as regards about putting family first.
Okay, who are we looking at here? Simon Harris, is it? Or do you think
Harris would appear to be the front runner at this stage, and I think he has got a nomination at this stage, so I think he will be the front runner.
And 20 of the 54 parliamentary party members already backing him?
I think it's higher than 20.
And are you amongst them?
Yes.
You're backing Simon Harris?
Yes.
Okay, and who is Carol McNeill, the Dunleary TD, who's thinking she might throw her hat in the ring?
Well, my view is that I understand that she may not know me, but I'm not clear on it yet.
Okay, okay. So at least you're in the Simon Harris camp. You're calling that this morning.
Yeah, well, I've worked with Simon Harris. I've worked with Simon Harris for a long time. And, you know, any time I've gone to him in relation to dealing with an issue. And for instance, one of the issues, the most recent issue, is that we want to increase the number of radiation therapists and training. And we have no proposal in from both Trinity College and UCC.
Okay, that's for another day. I just want to appreciate that, but that's for another day. But why not? You can see that Sinn Féin and all of the independents, and probably Fianna Fáil, if the TDs were allowed to talk for themselves, want a general election.
The government has a majority in Dáil Éireann. Both parties, both the Green Party and Fianna Fáil, are satisfied that we have a job to do, we have projects to deliver on, and we want the time period in which to deliver on those projects. We're elected for a period of 5 years. It's up to the electorate in the next election to make their minds up about who they want to continue.
But this is as good a time as you'll ever get, though, isn't it? With changes at the top, to go to the people and see what they want.
But the government is delivering on a whole range of projects, and some of those projects, still have to be delivered on, and we want to continue to do the work we're doing and continue to grow the economy, and at the same time make sure that we can develop all of the other difficulties in relation to deal with the other difficulties like housing, like healthcare, and all of those. And that's basically what we want to do over the next 12 months.
And when do we expect to have a new leader of Fine Gael, as in Simon Harris?
We have the audition on the 6th of April, so we will have a new leader by the 6th of April.
What happens then is that decision of Fine Gael then to put him forward also as Taoiseach to be voted then by the Dáil and the Seanad?
Yes. Yeah. It's the Dáil that has the vote.
And when would that be?
I presume it will be the following week.
Okay. Appreciate you taking the call. Thank you so much. Colin Burke, TD, Fine Gael TD, heading to the Dáil. Text 0868104106. Your thoughts are welcome on that. We actually did a very interesting Vox on the streets of Cork yesterday. Seamus was out and about getting soundings from you guys, and I will come to that in a few minutes' time. But I want to go to Fianna Fáil. As I said, I was in touch with Micheál Martin this morning, but he's on his feet in the Dáil all morning, and hopefully maybe tomorrow or maybe early next week we'll get an opportunity to talk to him. But I do have the Finance Minister Michael McGrath. He joins me by phone ahead of a busy Dáil sitting this morning. Michael, good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Hi, Neil. Good morning. How are you?
Again, clearly this came as a bombshell. No one was expecting it. There was, he says that nobody stabbed him in the back, so he fell on his own sword. Is that your understanding of all of this?
Well, you know, he said what he said, and we have to take it in good faith, that it was for personal and political reasons. I'm sure over the days and weeks ahead he might elaborate further, but I've no reason to believe that the reason is anything other than what he set out in his statement yesterday. And where we are now is, as you've been hearing from Colin Burke there's an internal Fine Gael process now underway, and on the basis that the programme for government is honoured, then there will be a new Taoiseach elected, I expect, on the 9th of April.
Okay, we know what he said on the steps, and we had the audio live on air yesterday morning, but you were at the Cabinet meeting. Are you at liberty to say what he said in private to ministers?
It was the same message, really. He didn't speak at length. So we met as normal yesterday morning, went through all of the items on the agenda, and it was at the end of the meeting he said he wanted to make a personal statement, and it was very similar to what he said on the steps of government buildings afterwards. So he just made the point it was for personal and political reasons, and I think we could see he was quite emotional when he made his statement afterwards, and I can't read into it any more than what he
did. Did anybody try, and I know Micheál would have known the night before and Eamon Ryan would have known the night before, but did anybody try and talk him out of it around the table or anything like that?
No, I mean, I think when a Taoiseach comes to that decision, it's not one that's taken lightly. There aren't many people who, you know, voluntarily leave the office of an Taoiseach in the country. So clearly he had been thinking about this for quite some time. And he said he made the final decision in recent days. And no, nobody tried to tarnish the, and Minister Ryan said a few words just acknowledging and thanking him for his contribution and for the way he chaired government since the end of 2022. But the decision was made. And
that decision, he says, was made on his trip to Washington. Why would that be?
I don't know exactly when it was finalised, but I think he said he has been considering it for a few months, perhaps as far back as Christmas, and made the final decision in the last week or so. That's my understanding of what he has said. And, I'm not going to second guess what the Taoiseach has said. I think we just take it at face value that those are the real reasons, and sometimes the truth is straightforward.
Fair enough. And Fianna Fáil are quite happy to, just to say, lie down under this and say, okay, you go off, you go, get a new Fine Gael leader, and we'll allow you to make that new Fine Gael leader, whoever it is, Taoiseach. Micheál Martin is the tarnished. Why isn't he Taoiseach now?
I'd love him to be Taoiseach again. I think he was a fantastic Taoiseach.
So say to them, we're not up for this. We want a general election.
That's not realistic, Neil. That wouldn't be countenanced, because we had an agreement that the term of the office of an Taoiseach would be split between the two parties, because we are pretty much of equal size in this government. So Micheál had his 2.5 years as Taoiseach. This was Leo Varadkar's turn on behalf of Fine Gael. He has decided to step down. It is a matter for Fine Gael to nominate his replacement.
Coalitions collapse, not all the time, but coalitions have collapsed and wound up in the past.
They have. And this will be tested when the question is put to the Dáil, and the question is, will there be a majority in the Dáil for the election of a new Taoiseach? And I believe that there will be. So, I mean, that's the way our system works. The public who listen to you and talk to you every day elect their TDs every 5 years. The TDs go in, they elect a Taoiseach in the Dáil, and they elect the government. If a government doesn't have a majority in the Dáil, then it's game over, and then you go back to the people and they can vote again. And so on the 9th of April the question will be put, and I believe there will be a Dáil majority in favour of a new Taoiseach, and I would like to see the government continue until around this time next year, which is the which would represent the conclusion of a five-year term.
But if the man at the helm, as in the Taoiseach, says that he's no longer the best person from the job, wouldn't that indicate to the layperson that none of you at this stage are the best person for the job? If he feels he can't do it anymore, that it's got too much, that there are too many problems, that really there should be a reset on that basis alone?
Yeah, but to be fair, he didn't say he was stepping down because
he said after 7 years in office, I'm no longer the best person for the job. What does that tell you, except that he says he can't do the job?
I think it's clearly taken its toll on him. Personally and politically, it's a decision he arrived at personally, and from a Fianna Fáil point of view, we want to see out the remainder of the life of the government. We have a lot of work to do. Just yesterday I brought legislation through government that will set up two funds that will provide for the future, will make sure we can build homes over the years ahead and invest in transport, education, health and so on. So we've work to do. I want to get that legislation through in the coming months. Childcare costs will be coming down in the autumn because we made that provision in the budget. We're extending the rollout of free books in schools. That will happen in the autumn. There are tens of thousands of homes in the pipeline being constructed or having come through planning. So we've a lot of work to do, and we have progress that we can make. It's like you and your job, Neil. You wouldn't be allowed to clock off at 11:30 this morning because your job wouldn't be done. We've a year left.
If I wasn't doing my job properly, I mean, I mention young people back home in their 30s in the box room at home. If I wasn't doing my job properly, I'd be out of a job pretty quickly.
But that's a judgment that the people will have to form and express a view on when we go to the ballot box. We're not going to be short of elections in the months ahead. We have local and European elections in just over 2 months' time and a general election within a year. So, but I do think in the world in which we live, which is very uncertain, there are a lot of pretty dark things happening. Stability does matter. And in the job I have as Minister for Finance, I'm acutely aware that it matters, because when I talk to investors, those who are creating jobs, sustaining jobs, they do want a stable political system. And it's one of the strengths in Ireland. I didn't foresee that the Taoiseach would resign. But the choice then is, do you go to the country or do you seek to see out the mandate of the government?
Is it that you're living in fear of Sinn Féin? And actually, can I also say that I think the next general election will show a huge increase in independence in Dáil Éireann, and then that's what you're afraid of, that many will just within Fianna Fáil be voted out. Micheál Martin was almost voted out in the last general election, as an example. Is that the fear?
He was not. Neil, go back and look at the record. It was I took the last seat in the constituency.
What count was he elected on?
I don't know the number of the count, but he was very comfortably elected. It was never in question. And Fianna Fáil took two seats out of four in the last general election in Cork South Central. So while, you know, Sinn Féin topped the poll, they'd only one candidate. We had two candidates and we both got elected. And look, it's a matter for the people at the next election. I'm not saying that would be repeated. And I'm taking nothing for granted.
You got elected on the sixth count, Michael.
Yeah, and where's the shame in that?
Transfers. Five rounds of transfers. It wasn't a poll topper.
Neil, that's the system we have. he got elected, and his running mate, which was me.
I know that. You're a man of figures, right? Know? Okay, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Like, it was the
I
sixth,
know, but there's little point in one candidate coming in with a quota and a half, and the second candidate having half a quota and not getting elected. We were very close, overall, relatively close.
I'm only saying if we had a first past the post, Micheál Martin wouldn't have been elected. He was elected on the 6th.
But sure, we don't have a first past the post, Neil. We have a very representative system where your number two, your number three, your number four really counts and comes into play. And that's a fundamental part of our democracy. So, like, everyone's seat in Dáil Éireann is equally, whether they were elected on the first count or the 15th count.
You're trying to do good work, but you fudged an awful lot of things in government, and I'm just suggesting that you wouldn't go for a general election now because of the fear of not being re-elected into government or many TDs losing their seats. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's not true. You know, the public will have their opportunity. They'll have their say. We will give an account of what we have done, and there are a lot of good things. I know you'll talk about the negatives, but there are a lot of good things happening in the country, and people will judge it on balance overall, and they'll consider whether the alternative is better, and they'll vote in the ballot box. And isn't it great that we live in a democracy? You can vote governments in, you can vote them out, or you can keep them. And, you know, we're very privileged to have that opportunity in Ireland.
Are you okay then with Simon Harris as Taoiseach? Or would you have preferred if it was Simon Coveney, or do you care?
You know, we don't get involved in the business of another party. Their nomination process has just opened. All the early momentum seems to be with Simon Harris, but it's a matter for Fine Gael to do their thing, and they have a democratic process over the coming days. What matters for us is that the programme for government is honoured. It was not about personalities, so I've no doubt that Micheál will be... that Micheál will be sitting down with whoever comes through the Fine Gael leadership contest, and he'll be having a discussion with that person before we have the vote in the Dáil on the election.
Firstly, I'm not 100% clear, maybe this was made clear, will Leo Varadkar also step down as TD at the next general election? Is his life in politics finishing at the next general election, or what do we know?
He was asked that question, and he said he hadn't a decision made as to whether he would run again or not.
Okay, so we don't know what's next in his life. It's not of any particular concern to you, I suppose. I'm just curious.
No, we don't know.
Okay.
We don't know.
Okay, appreciate you taking the call as always. Michael McGrath, Minister for Finance. Your thoughts are welcome. Text 0868104106. Pick up the phone on 0818104106. Back after the break.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Okay, it's audio time. Seamus was on the streets of Middleton yesterday. Incidentally, the Vox that we did yesterday was before we were aware of the fact that Simon Coveney ruled himself out as running for leader of Fine Gael, and the possibility of Simon Coveney then ultimately becoming Taoiseach himself. But these are the people's thoughts after Leo's bombshell yesterday.
I'm resigning as President and Leader of Fine Gael effective today, and will resign as Taoiseach as soon as my successor is able to take up that office. I've asked our Party General Secretary and Executive Council to provide for the new leader to be elected in advance of the Ardesh on Saturday, April 16th, thus allowing a new Taoiseach to be elected when the Dáil resumes after the Easter break. My reasons for stepping down are both personal and political. I believe this government can be re-elected, and I believe my party, Fine Gael, can gain seats in the next Dáil. Most of all, I believe the re-election of this three-party government would be the right thing for the future of our country, continuing to take us forward, protecting all that's been achieved and building on it. But after careful consideration and some soul-searching, I believe that a new Taoiseach and a new leader will be better placed than me to achieve that, to renew and strengthen the team, to focus our message and policies to drive implementation. And after 7 years in office, I don't feel I'm the best person for that job anymore. I want to finish by thanking the people of Ireland for giving me the opportunity to serve them. And I promise I'll keep working for Ireland and my community in any way I can in the future. Thank you very much.
Do you think he's been a good Taoiseach for the country? Irish, I suppose. He hasn't been bad, in my opinion. The fact that this year, the Taoiseach's role with the last 12 months, I thought was a bit silly. It weakened the whole structure of the parties. I'm not sure who would be strong enough to take over from it.
Well, you'd have Simon Harris, Heather Humphreys, Helen McEntee, Simon Coveney, maybe another Cork Taoiseach.
Yeah, Coveney, I kind of like him actually. So maybe he'd fit the bill. I'm a bit of a blue shirt myself, to tell you the truth, but the party politics are kind of historical, don't they, at this stage. I suppose there's a bit of a fear factor for anyone in a good job at the moment as regards to how the next election is going to go. We'll have to see who falls into bed with who.
I only heard it there half an hour ago. Obviously, the word got out. Bit surprised, though.
Was it?
But seemingly, 10 Fine Gael TDs have resigned from the party as well before that. So there's something wrong there.
Do you think he was pushed or what?
Could have been. The fact that 10 went before him, that's not a good sign. But the fact that he was over in America for Patrick's weekend and he didn't give any signs that there was anything afoot. Mm. Maybe he didn't know.
Or did something happen over in the States?
Possibly.
Do you think they should have just called an election? Are you happy with his performance over the last 4 years?
Well, personally, I prefer Micheál Martin in charge.
Okay.
Not that I'm kind of like stuck in Fianna Fáil or stuck in Fine Gael or anything, but I just thought he had a better way about him. You know? Maybe it's because he's a Corkman.
And what about yourself?
I thought he did a great job, and he was great for the country, and I think it's a sad day, and there's a lot of stuff, it could be personal, we don't know. So I just think it's a sad day, you know, for him and for, you know, he did so much over COVID, the marriage referendum. I think he brought a lot to the country. He was really strong on Brexit, and he really stood his ground, and he did a really good job. Yeah, he did.
And who would you like to see as new leader of the party?
Simon Coveney would be good. Yeah, he would, yeah. And I like Simon Harris.
I think Simon Coveney was kind of, they were kind of neck and neck when Enda Kenny stood down, didn't they, for leadership?
I think he was, yeah, I think they were, neck and neck together, yeah. And he's gone very quiet recently, hasn't he?
He has. Maybe we could see another Cork Taoiseach.
Maybe, which wouldn't be bad.
I think it's the best thing ever happened, because himself and his old buddy, like, they're no use to the country. No use. Mm-hmm. And I sort of expected him to resign after the way the voting went.
After the referendum?
Yeah.
You think that was the final nail?
Yeah. Plus, they appeared on television a couple of nights beforehand, and none of them could answer the questions, like, you know, that was put to them. Even the Taoiseach and the Minister of Justice, she wrote some of it. She was asked questions and she couldn't, you know.
And so do you think that they're only just moving the seats on the Titanic now then, because they're going to push to stay in government till March of next year?
I don't know what they're doing, but the quicker they go, the better. That's what I think.
Couldn't care less. I've lost all interest in politics years ago. That's about the size of it. If I made any comment other than that, I'd only be bluffing.
You know what? I think you're sensible. It's not often that a head of government, a politician, would come along and say, right, I think I've done enough and I think I'm not the best person to go on in this job.
But do you think he was pushed?
I'm not sure if he was pushed. I suspect if he was pushed, it was the referendum that really pushed him. He said he was thinking about it, and I wonder if people were talking to him or talking at him. Mm. It's the other thing. But I think it was a very sensible decision in the end.
And who would you like to see as Fine Gael leader? Would you like to see another Cork man leading?
Well, that would be nice as a corpsman. But I wouldn't put it beyond one of the women, maybe Hedda Humphreys.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that would make a big statement, given what happened at the referendum. Think about that.
Smart, intelligent contributions from the good people of Middleton yesterday afternoon. And, of course, that was before Simon Coveney ruled himself out. Helen McEntee has done the same this morning on LMFM. She said this is not the right time. I'm not quite sure, is it the right time to be leading Fine Gael or the right time for her to be leading the country? But she's out as well. And just on one point with regards to Michael McGrath, I don't mean to overly labour it, but if you look at the last general election, Micheál Martin was elected, as I say, on the sixth count. It was kind of scary, squeaky bum time, actually, I think, for some of them back then. In fact, Simon Coveney was elected on the eighth count, and so was Michael McGrath on the eighth count. Of course, there was many landslides across the country for Sinn Féin. So Micheál Martin on the sixth and Simon Coveney and Michael McGrath on the eighth. I wonder if that plays on their mind with an upcoming general election as to how they would fare. Would they be elected? On what count? Would any of them top the poll? Funny text on Simon Harris. As Simon Harris seems to be the front runner for Taoiseach, Neil, let's see some of the highlights from his career. He thought the chicken goujons would provide COVID immunity. He thought there were 18 previous COVID variants. It took 15 counts for him to be elected, and he made a shambles of the cervical check scandal. Can't come on air, but feel free to read out. Text 0868 104 106. We'll pick it up after 10.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
Be part of the conversation. Why don't you text 0868 104 106, the Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. Good. Short text. Good. As in, glad he's gone. I hope Martin and Ryan will go as well. Isn't it nice the way he got his Paddy's Day jaunt out of the way before he left at the taxpayers' expense? Let the voters now talk. General election time. There's lots of different texts both here and indeed comments from my Twitter and Facebook X and things like that. Rats on a sinking ship springs to mind, Neil. Leo and Micheál were barely elected, only for the transfers they'd never got in. It was the sixth or the seventh count, so it's only improper and fair that an election is needed now to show their true popularity. He was Taoiseach that looked beyond and above his own people. He was a specialist in spin and nodding to Europe. He knew what was coming in the next election, got out ahead of it. A general election? Absolutely not. A new leader for Fine Gael, yes, because he has stepped back, but it's Micheál Martin should now resume as Taoiseach. He said in his speech that the cost of living crisis is over, so at least he was consistent in his delusion to the very end. No loss to the country at all. The quote in his speech regarding the cost of living crisis was, "More recently, we have led the country through an inflation and cost of living crisis, the worst of which is now thankfully behind us." You see, that's why some would say that our politicians are completely out of touch. We want an election to vote for our own new Taoiseach. A great man for the rich, he did nothing for anyone else. Another few here. Pity he didn't do this before his all-expenses-paid trip, paid for by all of us taxpayers. He finally realised he's a puppet on a string. It's long overdue, his announcement. He mentioned COVID and the amount of lives that they saved. There was no mention of the lives that were lost due to very poor decisions. I think he knew the writing was on the wall. He had no interest in the Irish people, but only to please the puppet masters in Europe. You know, we tend to elect people, then only to subsequently try to knock them down. But there are many other texts which we'll come back to over the course of the morning, so do text 0868 104 106. And joined by John Kearns, former editor-in-chief of the Irish Mirror, columnist with the Irish Mirror, and I'm just wondering if it came as much of a shock to him as everybody else. Jumbo, good morning.
Morning, Neil.
Do you think he went of his own volition? Is there anything to see here? Was there a heave coming, a push? No?
I don't know. I think he just decided. I think it was a bit like Jurgen Klopp. He'd had enough. He'd had enough of being at the top of the game. And I think he was burned out, the guy, maybe. Everyone keeps texting me saying there must be some other reason, but I don't know of any other reason. I think the referendum result was a huge blow. I think he knew the voters were waiting in the long grass one way or the other. You got local and European elections coming up that Fine Gael were going to be slaughtered. He would have been under huge pressure after. maybe there might have been a heave coming against them then. But there was certainly no talk of a heave. I mean, this took everybody by surprise. Now, Leo Varadkar did always say he was going to get out of politics by the time he was 50. I think he's 44 or 45 now. So maybe the guy just had enough, you know? Like, we're living in it's changed times, you know? Like, yeah, it's not that you want to have a thick skin to be in politics now. You know, you want to have a suit of body armour on you. I mean, just listening to some of your comments of your listeners there, I mean, honestly, sometimes I wonder, you know, what do people want and what do you expect? You know, for any Irish Taoiseach to get over to the White House and spend time with the President of the United States is a great thing for this country.
Ah, yeah, but Mr. Bean would get over there if he's Taoiseach, because that's just a tradition.
It's a tradition, but also, no other country in the world has access to the White House like we have. And that's really, really important for this country. And you just look at all US companies who employ thousands and thousands of people down in Cork, never mind Dublin and other various parts of the country. You know, so the association between Ireland and America is hugely important. And for people to say, oh, he's over there in a jolly, and I've covered some of these events over the years, you know, and they're busy and they're huge networking events. And, you know, it's so bloody stupid, I think, of people's part to think that's a waste of money when you've got access to the US president.
All right, America. Good point. Yeah, in fairness, yeah, you're right. So they get slaughtered in the locals. They got the referendums all wrong. That's all there's to see
out
here.
Of touch. Yeah. They've been out of touch. Like, they've been out of touch for a while. But it's like everything else. Fine Gael are a bit like the Tories in Britain. They've been in power for far too long. And if you're looking at the same faces all the time, it doesn't matter what you do. Like, personally, I was a huge fan of it. I thought Enda Kenny was a good guy. I thought he was a really good Taoiseach. He came into the country when it was on its knees after the crash. And, like, Leo and his buddies couldn't wait to get rid of him, you know. But they came into the job and they didn't really do a hell of a lot better than Enda Kenny. In fact, he did way worse at the polls, you know. See, Leo Varadkar is not your kind of normal politician that we know, in the sense that, you know, the likes of Charlie Haughey, he might have been a bit of a gangster, but you know, he was very charismatic. When I go through all the Taoiseachs, Bertie Ahern had huge voting appeal for three general elections.
Yeah.
People liked Bertie Ahern. He dealt way with people. He could walk into a room and talk to anyone. Enda Kenny could do it. Charlie could do it. Albert Reynolds could do it. Leo Varadkar could not do it. He wasn't that type of guy. He was always very aloof. So he might have appealed to the intellectuals in Fine Gael, the young cubs from Dublin who took over the party. You know, the Harrises, the Morphys, himself, the Neil Redmonds of the world, you know, all the rich elite from Dublin, as I would call them, right? And they more or less took over the party and moved in Fine Gael and moved it from being, you know, largely a conservative party that spoke for the farmers in rural Ireland, was tough and long grind, and moved it into a completely other woke direction, in my opinion, you know. And they've done a lot of damage to the party, but they're in power too long. And let's be honest, people are just sick of them. They're just sick looking at the same faces.
And when you listen to what he said there were political reasons, but he also said personal reasons. And you alluded there that to be a politician now, you need body armor. Are you alluding to the kind of toxicity that they have to put up with?
The toxicity, the keyboard warriors, all these people who sit at home doing nothing, slagging everybody off from morning to night, you know, from one end of the day to the other, who all they do is whinge and complain, have a sense of entitlement, wouldn't go off their butts to do a day's work in their lives, and all they do is give out about everything. And they're abusing politicians, their families, they've been protesting at their door, at their houses, you know, and it's wrong. And, like, you know, rightly or wrongly, there's a lot of genuine people who go into politics to do the right thing. Like, you know, Leo Varadkar has made, you know, he's had a living, a good living out of politics, but he's not a millionaire.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, most people get into politics and not making, as the keyboard warriors think, or these people who've got this sense of entitlement are making millions. They're not. They're going into politics to do their best. And some of them do very well do it politically. They do good things. And others don't do good things. They're not good at it. You know, there's been some good ministers and some bad ministers. And it's been, that's the way it's been in this country for the last 100 years. But there's a fatigue element in particular with Fine Gael, you know, just like the Tories of Britain. When you're in power, like it was the same with Fianna Fáil up to the last election in 2000. People were sick of Fianna Fáil. You know, just sick of them. And some people are still sick of them, by the way. But, you know, at the moment, people are seem to be, you know, kind of sick of Fine Gael, you know. But then, go the other side. They're not overly overwhelmed about Sinn Féin either at the moment. Like, Sinn Féin didn't get an overall majority in the last election. Sinn Féin have been sliding in the polls, you know, largely because of immigration and their failure to address immigration. Mm. They've been sliding in the polls over the last few months, and people are starting to get fatigued now looking at poor Mary Lou.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, it's not easy for any of the parties, you know. And there's no quick fix to this. You know,
quick fix would be a general election, though, wouldn't it? With the chaos of the last 24 hours.
I've got a view on it. I personally think there should be a general election, and I'll tell you why. Basically, we had our last election. Mary Lou, she was standing for Taoiseach, leader of Sinn Féin. Micheál, standing for Taoiseach, leader of Fianna Fáil. Leo Varadkar, standing for Taoiseach, you know, leader of Fine Gael. Eamon Ryan, standing for Taoiseach, the Greens. We all knew who we voted for and who was going to be Taoiseach, depending on the results. So we ended up with a tripartite government. Some people wanted to see Sinn Féin on the left. There wasn't, the numbers didn't add up, so it didn't happen. Mm. Fianna Fáil would not go into government with Sinn Féin, so it didn't happen. That didn't happen. So there was only one solution. And now we've got what it is. You know, we are where we are. But I don't think whoever's elected, I feel, don't have the mandate of the people to govern. Varadkar had, because he stood as leader of his party. Micheál Martin had, because he stood as leader of his party. But whoever is coming in now did not stand as leader of a party before the Irish people wanting to be Taoiseach. You know, now that's my argument. Now, so I think personally, I think there should be a general election. Now, and there may well, yeah, but you don't know how this is all going to play out. Like, at the moment, Fianna Fáil is sitting back in the Greens, and they're saying, well, whoever comes in, we want a guarantee there won't be an election for a year. I'm sure there's people in Fianna Fáil who are saying, well, maybe it mightn't be a bad thing if there's an election now, because whoever comes in won't have a chance to get their feet under the table, and we might get a few more seats off Fine Gael or, you know, in the next election. So you don't know how it's going to play out over the next few weeks. Like, no, it's never a given. Nothing's ever done until it's done. Until that person has actually voted in through the door as Taoiseach, they're not going to be Taoiseach. So until it happens, it happens. But you're going to have Harris, you may have Pascal Donoghue run, or it may well be a coronation. They'll all rally around towards Simon Harris, and he'll be new king of the castle, you know. But then he's going to have problems because he does not have a mandate. He might have a mandate from the Dáil, but he doesn't have a mandate from the people if he is to.
But if nothing changes and we follow what is democratically planned here, electing a leader of Fine Gael, that person then becomes the Taoiseach in waiting. It's voted in the Dáil by all of the parties. The way they round the troops, Simon Harris is the next Taoiseach.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you feel about that?
But none of us, how do I feel about that? Well, I don't think it's right, because I don't think any of us went into the polling booths in the last election with thinking that Simon Harris, voting for Simon Harris. We knew we had a choice between, you know, Leo, Micheál,
Mary Lou,
you know, or the Greens went bananas and got 100 seats, you know,
Eamon Ryan. Yeah.
But Simon Harris was never in the ticks. So I think they're going to have a problem politically trying to justify that as we get on and we go through the local and Europeans. And I think that it's the same for Rishi Sunak. Look at England, look at Britain. You know, he didn't have a mandate from the people. Neither did your woman who lasted, what you call her.
Liz Truss. He's a dead man walking now, though, isn't he?
He is. He's going to lose. He's going to be slaughtered in the next election. Like, there's no doubt there's going to be big changes here, you know. And it's not that the next election, the results aren't going the way that everybody thinks. It's not going to be some landslide for Sinn Féin. The numbers aren't there. The independents are going to do really well in the next election.
And why do you think, just on that point, I agree with you with regards to the independents, but why do you think that Sinn Féin's popularity, I know that polls come and go and they're up and down, but it seems to be...
You have to come up with solutions. You can't just sit there and say no to everything. The people of this country are quite clever, you know. And also, on the immigration thing, you know, it's caused big issues in rural Ireland, where I have no problem with people coming into the country, right? As long as we check out who they are, make sure they've no criminal record, and if we're letting them in, and if they're coming from a war zone, you know, not a safe country, a war zone, I've no problem letting them in. But what you don't do is get 100 or 200 people and put them into a village in the middle of nowhere in the west of Ireland and close down the only hotel in the area, you know, so that tourists can't stay there or where people can't have community meetings. So the government's hold, immigration policy has been an absolute disaster. And your man, Roderick O'Gorman, I wouldn't have the time of day for him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's on about culture. He told a councillor from my hometown at a meeting 2 weeks ago that he does not do consultation, quote, at a meeting with eight councillors from Drogheda, I do information. Because they decided to put 500 refugees, God bless them, into the last remaining hotel we had in my hometown here in Drogheda. You know, it was a big political issue here, locally. So
will that be the biggest? Do you think that'll be the biggest?
Sinn Féin on immigration had dropped the ball, as had the whole government. The people were way ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean, but they are changing their tune in that regard, aren't they?
Oh, they are. The government are now changing their tune at 100 miles an hour, and so are Sinn Féin, because they're starting to realise the anger and how people...
Is it because they're taking the temperature of the public for a change?
Correct. Well, they've caught up with the Republic about 6 months, a year afterwards. Like, if you objected to anybody coming in a year ago, and you said, well, we shouldn't be letting people in, we should be checking to see if they've got a criminal record, and if they have, they shouldn't get in, you'd be told that you were a right-wing fascist. And that was wrong, you know, but that was the view of the government, right? So people are also sick of the government talking at them and talking down to them, you know. So, like, but be honest, let's look at the bigger picture here. Fianna Fáil or the Greens or, you know, any of the government parties, the last thing they want is an election.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Because it'd be like turkeys voting for Christmas. The last thing they want to do is go out this summer knocking doors trying to get re-elected, because they know they will take a lot of flack.
They'll have to pull a few rabbits out of the hat before they ever decide to go.
What they want to do is to have a big giveaway budget probably in September or in October, right, and give more money back into more people's pockets. There's thousands and thousands of houses being built all across the country. My hometown here, there's people who've been on the waiting list for 13, 14 years rather getting apartments and houses, because there's about thousands of houses being built here in Drogheda. Everywhere you go, there's new houses being built.
I fail to see the same happening down here, to be honest with you. I don't hear that anybody talking Pardon? About that. I don't hear of anybody talking about building thousands of houses down here in Cork. There are plans and there's talk about it, but I don't see...
Yeah, well, they're happening here, I can tell you. Round here, they're definitely happening, right? So they are making a big impact. I think there'll be 33,000 houses built this year in the country. But it's still not enough, because they probably need about 50,000, because the population of the country is growing and growing and growing all the time, and they can't keep up. And the poor people caught in rent trap are being screwed to the wall by landlords.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a catch-22. But there's no easy solution. Sinn Féin are not going to solve the housing crisis overnight. Even Mary Lou has admitted it's going to take them 10 years. So this whole housing thing is not going to go away anytime soon, no matter who's in power. You know. But I don't see, you know, the government parties will stick together and they'll try and keep going for another year, you know. But I think there'll be a lot of unexpected things, you know. As they say, a week is a long time in politics. Sure, you know, none of us thought this was coming.
24 hours is a long time in politics, as you could say, for sure. Nice
so
one.
What's going to happen next?
Watch like, this
know,
space.
We just don't know.
Nice one. Thanks, Jumbo, as always. Appreciate it.
Good
man who doesn't hold back, John Cairns.
Fair
play to
Cork.
Regards to the good people of Cork. Fair play to him. One of the stories making the Mail today, house prices shoot up yet again. I don't know where they get these figures for. I mean, I'm accepting when they say there's been a 26,000 euro increase in the average price of a house. I think it's much more than that, but they're saying nationally, so you have to take in the entire country. Clearly in Cork it would be much higher than that, but when you divvy it up all around the country, the average sale price now is 391,000, up from 365,000 a year ago. So that's where they come up with the figure, as in the sense that it's going up. House prices across the country are going up by 2,100 euro every single month. And you could almost double that, if not more, in major cities like Cork. Text 0868104106. Chloe, thank you for holding. Good morning.
Morning, Neil. How are you?
Your thoughts. Because you're of an age... I saw, I think it might have been some kind of a Vox that was on television last night, where they spoke to a 20-something and she said, where's the effect of we are not considered... as being important, so therefore I have no opinion to make on politics because we're not represented in politics in Ireland in 2024. Do you agree with that? You're like a 20 something.
Yeah, no, I actually do agree with it. 100%. Like you said, I am like in my mid 20s and I'm a college student. Now, I personally feel like a lot of people can agree or disagree with me in my age group or older, but like. The upcoming like generation, we're struggling, and I don't think the government are actually seeing it, because I don't think they're living it. They can say they're, you know, building houses all over the country, like the your previous guest who's from Drogheda and Louth, like, I've heard stories of houses going up there because it's closer to Dublin, and I think, like, a lot of people coming into the country want to be closer to the capital.
That's a very good reason why that's probably happening, Chloe. Tell me why you feel you're struggling, your generation.
Like, for, like, best way I can put it in, like, in context of my own personal experience, like, again, I'm in my mid-20s, I'm a college student in UCC. Like, when you're looking at the housing crisis, like, a lot of people my age that are still, like you said, living in a box, like, just the smallest box room in their parents' house, are just, like, cracking up and wanting to get out, or wanting to find our own, like footprints in the world and making our own way and finding our own independence. But with the way the government is going and the way Leo Varadkar and his coalition have been, like, running the country for the last number of years, we're finding it very hard. Inflation is having a massive effect on us with, like, food prices and even healthcare. Like, I was in South Korea for 2 years on an undergrad, like, teaching experience scholarship. Mm-hmm. And I thought I had, like, the biggest culture shock when it came to, like, especially healthcare. Like, in South Korea, like, if you're working, you have to pay, your employer pays, like, a certain percentage of your health insurance.
Yeah.
You pay the other half, along with it, like, a state pension that's in the law. So, like, even though I had to, like, pay into that every month because, again, it was by law, I had to follow South Korean laws. Like,
ah, yeah, but you'd, like, to be honest with you, the same state pension system operates here, you know? And some companies now are thinking very much outside the box when it comes to healthcare. There are some companies, I know they're massive companies, a lot of them, they are offering, as a perk, healthcare for staff. You know, they'll pay your VHI or they'll pay your LEA, but it isn't commonplace, but it does happen to some extent, you know? When you graduate, though, what will your options be?
My only option for me is to maybe go back to South Korea because, like, looking at the advantages I might have there, I'd have more opportunities. Like, I'm studying music and Asian studies in UCC, so, and part of the Asian studies, I'm actually studying Korean language, so I feel like I've more doors are opening up for me over there as soon as I graduate, when it comes to maybe teaching again, rather than Ireland, where a lot of people my age that are wanting to be teachers are, like, kind of, like, struggling to maybe get into schools.
So many of them are, okay, for you, South Korea, but for many, many of them, it's to four or five different cities around Australia, isn't it? Have you had a lot of experience of friends saying they're going to do that or have already done so?
I know a good load of people are actually already in Australia and they're having the time of their life.
Okay.
Like, they seem a lot happier than they would have been here. Like, it is heartbreaking, you know, having to, like, pack up everything, being, like, I myself, I'm proud to be from Cork, but just with the way things are going, like, nothing changes.
But are they there for a good time or for an experience or to travel, or is it out of economic necessity and a job?
I think it's, like, everything, like, getting a better, like, having better life experiences, having better work and job opportunities along with traveling and seeing the world. I think it fits the whole, that whole category, but...
Okay. And just finally, I know I'm bombarding you with questions. You were saying in your text that you believe that party politics, as in Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens and Sinn Féin, that doesn't work really. It's out of date. Do you believe it's a time maybe for more and more independents representing their own localities, is it?
Yeah, I really think Ireland, it's high time that Ireland has a party-less government and more of an independent government. You don't have to know a lot about politics to have common sense, to know that, like...
Common sense,
the Irish people, we sat back for too long and we're finally speaking out. We're telling the government that we want them out, that we want, better conditions in all, across all categories when it comes to infrastructure. Like, when you look at Cork, you go through town in Cork City, there's nothing there. You're lucky if you have a Penny's on Patrick Street, and off the lane. But the amount of restaurants that are closing down because of high rents, because they can't meet demand, it's hopefully, like, the government is starting to wake up and actually listen to us, and you know, we're not going crazy. Like, again, being from Cork, there's nothing in town, there's nothing for young people around, there's more sports shops and vape shops than there is, you know, like arcades and
where do you prefer to go? Is it Mahon Point?
I sometimes Mahon Point or sometimes Wilton.
Wilton is superb as well. You stay out of town because you've got better options in Wilton or Mahon Point, is it?
Yeah, like there's a lot more, but there's a lot better shop options. Now, granted, you've got Opera Lane as well, but you know, H&M and X and River Island and New Look. But when you're just like walking around town itself, there's nothing really.
But I was in Mahon Point recently. I was down at a film, Dune, and I noticed that the two big anchor tenants in Mahon Point now, and I want to correction here, are both major sports shops. Debenhams seems to be gone there, and I think is there a Lifestyle or a Sports Direct or a JD Sports? They're the main
anchor. There's JD Sports, Lifestyle and Sports Direct.
Why have sports shops become so these are now the anchor tenants? Is that because that's the clothing that people of your generation want to wear, is it?
Well, with my generation, I'm not too sure, but I actually can't really make a comment on that, I'm afraid, but it's just even with all these sport shops coming in, and with the old Debenhams where Roche Town Stores was on Patrick Street, now apparently going to become an Elvery's and all.
See what I mean? They seem to be the new anchor tenants now, big sports shops. I mean, that's maybe it's a fashion thing, don't get me wrong, but you go down to Mahon Point and you have two massive shops, possibly three, I actually think, all of them selling the same stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe it'll be good for competitive prices. Appreciate your thoughts this morning. Thank you, Chloe. Have a good one. There's a survey out this morning in the Mail. I don't know how they base it, the top 20 happiest nations in the world. I don't know what kind of criteria they use, but it ain't us, lads. Apparently, if you're looking for the world's happiest place to be and the happiest people, Finland. You'd never have thought that, would you? Finland, followed by Denmark, followed by Iceland, followed by Sweden. What's this telling us? All the Scandinavians are much happier than us. Why is that? After that, Israel. Go figure that one. After that, then in sixth place, the Netherlands, Norway, Luxembourg, Switzerland, and finally in 10th place, Australia. Where are we? Where are we? 17th, I'm afraid.
Call Neil now. 0818-104-106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Your call's the top class. Text 0868-104-106. Pick up the phone on 0818-104-106. We were all kind of caught on the hop yesterday morning, right about 10 past 11. We're expecting some kind of news. And then around about 25 to thereabouts, I got wind of the fact that it was going to be Leo Varadkar saying that he was going to call it a day. We were calling around lots and lots of politicians. I think it's fair to say, with regards to Fine Gael politicians, they, and I'm open to question on this, but I believe they all had their phones switched off. Just wondering whether they got a group text and were told well in advance of the announcement. I imagine Fine Gael were told before anybody else. They were told, don't talk to the media, turn off your phones. I don't know how these things kind of play out. But anyway, Christopher Sullivan, TD for West Cork, joins me by phone, Fianna Fáil TD. Christopher, good morning.
Hey, Neil, how are you?
I'm not overly labouring this point, but how did you guys hear of this? Was it through media or what?
Yeah, I think it was the Independent broke an article saying that there was going to be a political earthquake.
That's
announcement.
Right.
We had no idea what that was going to be. Obviously, all these things go around in your head. You know, was the Taoiseach going to set a date for a general election? You know, these type of things are went into your head. But then I suspected early on that it would be an announcement of, I suppose, one. And look, we knew it was on the Fine Gael side, so we knew that it would be an announcement in relation to one of their leading politicians, whether that was Pascal, who's always been touted as with a move to Europe, or with Simon Colvenier, with potentially Leo as well, you know, because he had, I did suspect in some regards that he may not be leading Fine Gael into the next general election, but I certainly, I'd be absolutely lying if I said I predicted that he'd be stepping down at this point.
But here we are, here's where we find ourselves, and in fairness to you, you've said this already, we will have three different Taoiseachs in the course of this government.
Yeah, and that's unusual. Absolutely, I'm not going to, you know, say that this is a normal course of events. But having three parties entering government isn't necessarily a normal course of events either. And certainly, having a coalition between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil is certainly not a normal course of events. So I think this government has certainly change the mould in many regards in relation to what's possible. When we were signing up for the programme of government, I'm sure it's fair enough to say that we expected that it would be Micheál for that first term as Taoiseach, and then that Leo would complete the second term. Yeah. But I don't think, you know, on reflection now, and once we take a breath and kind of take it all in, I don't think it's as destabilising or as problematic as people are making out that there will be a third Taoiseach. I know there will be a lot of, you know, my own hardcore Fianna Fáil membership who, first of all, didn't like the idea of going in with Fine Gael in the first place, will find it difficult that we have to again vote for a second Fine Gael Taoiseach. But, you know, on reflection, and I suppose with a bit of maturity and looking forward in terms of, you know, delivering what we've promised in Programme for Government, I don't think it is the end of the world. Obviously, we don't know who it's going to be, so it's very difficult.
But you know very well, governments sometimes don't run the term, and coalitions do collapse. You know, they've collapsed for smaller bickering than this, you know.
Yeah, but look, when you consider the pressure that this coalition has been under, you know, be it the outbreak of COVID-19 and the pressures and the extraordinary difficult decisions that were made during that period, you know, the outbreak of war in Ukraine and the how that contributed to escalating prices, to inflation, to energy increases. And, you know, there's been a lot of pressure heaped on, in fairness, by the opposition, and they've called us to account in several regards. But we've survived all that, so I actually see this as somewhat less of a crisis, I guess, in that, you know, it all depends on the new Taoiseach, because when a new Taoiseach is elected, it's generally up to them that, you know, they call the date. But I suspect that I know Micheál consistently says that, look, we'll see out the full term, and it may well go until February, March, possibly, I would suspect, maybe before Christmas. But that's me just playing a kind of political prediction there, but it may not necessarily be that. But I certainly suspect that we'll survive the local elections and through the summer, you know.
Survive.
Listen,
are you just surviving now? I mean, are you taking the temperature of your constituency or what?
No, listen, the opposition, I hear them call for general elections and to say that everybody wants this government out and everybody is sick of this government. I think it's, they can't assume, and they can't assume that they speak for everyone. I've heard some of the opposition leaders say that, look, this is time to go, but they can't assume they speak for everyone. You know, I'm down here in the constituency. I, you know, spend as much time as possible in the constituency among the people within the constituency. And yes, I hear criticism. Yes, I hear people say that they're not happy with certain aspects of how government is performing in certain areas. And, you know, those ones are obvious. But at the same time, what we don't hear on social media as much, or what we don't hear maybe in terms of callers into radio shows, is that there are people out there who are happy with the stability. They're happy with the way the economy is going. They're happy with the fact that there's
They probably are in a very comfortable position and maybe have paid off their house. They may be retired, for instance. I don't know. They may have a nice little nest egg in the bank. They're not starting out in life.
Again, and as I said, Neil, I totally accept that not everyone was going to say that this government is hunky-dory and doing an absolutely fantastic job. We appreciate that. And that'll play out in the next general election. But I think there is what I would say a quiet, possibly majority, but there's certainly a good number of people who are quite content with the stability that this coalition has brought. Certainly, you know, and we talk about the big issue, there's no point
the stability
in
of
them,
this
obviously.
Government is that the Taoiseach has said that he is no longer capable of running the country as a Taoiseach. He says, you know. What does that tell you?
And that's like that's a bit of self-deprecation, and it's a very difficult thing for someone who's been involved in politics for so long to say that they're admitting that they're no longer
the best
in a position
for the job
to do this job, and that's fair enough. And you must consider what this job entails, and even just going for general election. I'm going for general election the next time around, and it's tough, and you have to you have to consider the amount of energy that's required to knock on doors, to debate, to try convince people that you're the best person for the job. And if your heart isn't in it, then you're absolutely going nowhere. And I think, look, reading body language, and I've possibly felt this now for a couple of months, I'm not sure, was the energy there? Was the enthusiasm there from Leo? I think a lot of political commentators have picked up on that. And in order to do this job, and on the current verse, I think in Micheál Martin, someone who everyone was expecting to sail off into the sunset, you have someone who's very, very much up for the fight, wants to lead the party into the next general election. And that's exactly the kind of mindset that you have to have if you're taking on a job like this, because it's not easy. I mean, we're seeing high figures within the political life, you know, stepping aside and stepping up, because it can be quite a tough job. And look, no one's looking for plaudits.
No, I know that Helen McEntee has in the past come out and been very honest and open about the difficulties, the toxicity, the nastiness that politics attract. Holly Kearns also recently said in an interview that if she had a time over again and knew what she was getting into, she wouldn't have. Do you think that it's the part when he talks of the personal aspect of it, that it has to do with his own personal life, his own space, the nasty, toxic trolling, that it's, you know, the online abuse? Is that a factor, do you think?
I think, look, he's certainly best positioned to speak for himself in terms of what he meant by the personal impact. I'd imagine it could be. Listen, when I ran for a general election in early 2020, I knew what I was signing up for. At that point, you know, trolling online and the toxicity online and the abuse online was already a factor in politics. So I knew what I was signing up for. I think when Leo probably entered politics all those years ago, but, you know, back in the early 2000s, certainly Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they weren't as prominent, and certainly that aspect of it wasn't as prominent. So potentially that's it. I mean, it is an issue, and if we're there's quite decent, you know, politicians of a really good caliber, I think, are stepping aside at the moment, and that certainly is worrying. And if we're trying to encourage a new era of energetic politicians to get into politics, then it's certainly something that we can't ignore. But unfortunately, because social media is so vast, it's a very difficult one to nip in the bud, and that's down to kind of personal decisions, really. Look, I expect it's going to be around for a long time, and I'm certainly going to have to. It's sad in some ways, Neil, because you become a bit desensitized to it. Look, you go onto my social media pages on any given day, and you'll see plenty of tough love and difficult comments.
Do you read it?
But you tend to block it out, and that's the kind of sad thing, because there are genuine criticisms in there that you should be engaging with and that you should be reading. If people aren't happy with you, they absolutely have the right to tell you that, listen, I'm not happy with the decision you made, I'm not happy with the way you voted, I'm not happy with
what
you're doing.
It's a bit like some of the texts that I would get on a topic like this, some of them that I wouldn't be able to read out because they're too vicious or nasty, and they're quite threatening in their tone towards politicians. So is it that Leo Varadkar would have said, sod this, I want to have a life?
Potentially, and I'm sure when he reflects on his decision, and when he sits down and the next general election comes, and he probably won't be running, and he'll have a kind of a smile on his face and relief, and he can enjoy the time with his loved ones, with his family, and you know, take time and decide what he's going to do in the future. And I'm sure there's an element of every politician who's a bit jealous about the prospect of that. But, you know, as I said before, to take on this role, certainly as Taoiseach, but even just going for general election, your heart has to be in it, and you have to be enthusiastic. You know, and look, I'm still in that position, thank God, that I have that enthusiasm. But I can see why Leo, after the spending, like, in fairness, it's a long time public service, and I thought some of the opposition commentary actually was going straight for the juggler. There was very little class involved, certainly within some quarters, in terms of the commentary they made. There's time for that down the line. I think there should have been a bit more respect paid to him.
Okay, thank you for that. As always, Christopher Sullivan, Fianna Fáil TD. Text 0868 104 106. Calls, texts and comments after the break.
Call Neil now. 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Get involved. Pick up the phone, 0818 104 106. That's exactly what Ed did. He says, this is an opportunity for a total revamp of government. Ed, good morning. Why?
Morning, Neil. How are you?
Why?
Oh, look, where do I start? I mean, I suppose in the last 2.5 years, right, I have gone from being somebody who was in emergency accommodation to actually getting my own accommodation to starting my own business, and that business now booming. So I've gone from one extreme to the other. And my experience the whole way through has been awful. Firstly, I actually spoke to you about this a couple of years ago myself. I was asked to leave emergency accommodation for Ukrainians.
Where were you? Do you mind me asking?
The Dutch Tulip in Mallow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I was moved somewhere else. And essentially, I informed the council that I said, look, I have a place to go there for a week or two with friends, because I was sick of the packing and up and down, and because I was told 1 week I was going, then I was told I was staying. I was packing and unpacking constantly. And before I knew it, because I was kind of the only like not blowing smoke up myself, like, but the only one who was kind of questioning things. I was the last Irish person in the hotel at that time. And
where did all of the Irish people go when it became a residence for Ukrainian war refugees?
I have contact with two other, though they were older. There was one man, he actually had throat cancer. He was quite unwell. And from what I know, he was put in a hostel. And you know, this man now, you can imagine now with throat cancer, he had the tube in his throat, couldn't speak, older gent in his 50s. He was put in a hostel room with, I think, four or five other people. Like, and this is coming from a room where he had a double bed and his own bathroom, which for hygiene needs, especially with his surgeries and things, would
so
be very necessary.
So he didn't want to go anywhere. It was the best of a bad lot for him. He was, okay, he was told he had to leave it.
Yep, there was notices left up on all the doors. I was, like, as I said, look, I was the only person who would be willing to speak up and challenge these things and why, and I suppose it was explained by management that, long story short, that the Ukrainians wanted everybody in the hotel to be Ukrainian. Now, look, I had this conversation that I had with management. This was a face-to-face, and I swear to God this happened. Like, I actually spoke to you about this about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Right? So, look, we'll fast forward anyway. I informed the council. I said, look, I said, well, it's up and down, and I know everything is going on with the refugee crisis and all that. I have a place to stay there for a week. I said, it's only a week, and it was only a week. I said, look, until we can kind of get back on track with this. And when I rang them after the week, they basically said, oh, you opted to leave. We have nowhere for you. I was like, all right. Now, little did I know at the time, it was a blessing in disguise because I suppose it pushed me to push myself further, and I took a massive leap in going into business, and I got very, very lucky with the first couple of jobs that I'd done it for the right people, and the name of my business took off. I won't name it, obviously, because of this phone call. Why won't I name it? Because I think the majority of people would agree with me, but I think there would be people out there that wouldn't agree with me, and day to day I deal with people and the public from a day to day, so I'd like my opinion to be separate from my business, if that makes sense.
Okay. But you are acknowledging that by, and this isn't far from the norm, but in your case, being refused emergency accommodation was the kind of, for want of a better term, boot up the ass that you got to motivate yourself to better yourself.
There was a series of events, Neil, that happened, we'd say, within the course of a week, that we'd say if it happened a week before or a week after, I'd be up shit creek, basically.
Okay. It's about timing, yeah. Okay. Okay.
Exactly. See,
yeah, like, I know, and I won't dwell much on this, but I did chat with somebody yesterday afternoon who was saying, on the same day, Neil, you were talking about the 10 million euro record revenue turnover for Trebalgan for 2022, which only now houses Ukrainians. And at the same time, you were talking about the fact that Varadkar felt that he had done a good job as Taoiseach. Are they absolutely tone deaf? Let me finish this. It's important to say this. There is nothing in the wide earthly world wrong with Trebalgan Holiday Village having nothing but Ukrainians, nor is there anything wrong with their 10 million euro revenue for 2022 doing that. But there is something wrong in the country when we have created a situation where this is possible. Do you know what I mean?
Like 100%. And when it's at the expense of the Irish, I mean, if you look, I don't know, you've probably seen the footage, right? There's essentially a skid row in Dublin. There is refugees living in rows upon rows of tents, right? And now there's Irish in amongst them as well. I was only up in Dublin myself. I had a confirmation a couple of weeks ago. We had to go up to Dublin dresses. It's all a scam as far as I'm concerned, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
We went up to the dresses and we went out for a bit of grub, and I absolutely couldn't believe the difference from when I was up there 3 years ago. I couldn't believe my eyes.
Okay.
You know, like, look,
there are individuals now, right? There are individuals now that are living under the flyover in Douglas Village. The flyover has two concrete banks on either side of them, under them, and there are two young individuals, and all of their life is in two shopping trolleys. They have maybe 15 or 20 bottles of 2 litres of water.
I lived in the back. Neil, I lived in the back of a 2012 Renault Megane for 3 weeks, right? I have been there. No, I was fortunate enough to get my business. I was fortunate enough for everything to take off. And I just got so lucky. I was absolutely blessed. But if Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan think that they've done anything at all positive, look at every aspect of what's important. You've got number one, the economy. Number two, healthcare, right. Housing. These are all at their absolute worst. We are at I have an issue with my gallstone. I went to the hospital about 6 weeks ago. I was bent over in pain. Right now, I've since got it diagnosed and it's getting sorted. I went up to CUH, right, and this was in the middle of a weekday, and the security guard came out to me and said, "You'll be waiting 26 hours to see a nurse." So the nurse is who you see before you see the doctor. He said, "We have no idea how long
hours.
It would be."
26 hours.
Neil,
when I was out there in November, they told me 12 hours, and it was pretty much 12 hours to almost to the minute. You were told
that would have been a good day.
That must have been. I was going to say that. I must have been
one
there
of the wealthiest
on a good day.
Countries in the world. One of the wealthiest countries in the world, and I was in teeth clenching, bent over, grabbing my stomach, pain, and 26 hours to speak to a nurse. And I knew then at that point the nurse was going to come out and say, "The doctor will see you when he gets to you, and she'll give me paracetamol," which does absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Like, so, yeah. I mean, the housing... Well,
Compare that to the Spanish model then. The Spanish model would put us to shame.
Neil, the whole of Europe would put us to shame.
All right, okay.
The whole of Europe would put us to shame. For me, to buy myself and my partner are both working. I have my own business. She's the management of a restaurant. We cannot afford to buy a house. We make double what's considered a good weekly wage. We make double that. I couldn't buy the square footage of land to put a cabin on it. Never mind, say, pay for the cabin itself.
And you are aware of the log cabin up in County, you know, Sean Meehan's log cabin above in County Tipperary.
Absolute disgrace. Yet we can throw modular units all over the country. As long as you're not Irish, Neil, you're laughing.
All right. Okay.
You're laughing.
Okay. I'm delighted that you landed on your feet, in fairness to your own work, to do so. Do stay in touch, Ed. Appreciate it. Text 0868-104-106. Take it easy.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
The Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. We were talking earlier in the week to Sean Meehan, who built a log cabin on his own land. People were incensed about the prospect of him going to jail and having it knocked down. First week in April, he's back before the beak, as they say. Just one question on the situation Sean finds himself in. How can we, the Irish citizens, get behind him? Where are all the NGOs and those to help Sean? We as citizens need to get to Tipperary and stand shoulder to shoulder with Sean. Yes, you can do that. And if you just Google anything to do with Sean Meehan, you'll see a lot of ways that you can help, just like the people of Tipperary are helping him in and around his hometown. If you Google Sean Meehan GoFundMe, it'll come up. It's called Pensioner Facing Prison for Building a Log Cabin. Somebody, I mentioned that because I got a lot of texts saying, set up a GoFundMe for the man. It's already there. Isn't it great, Neil, in the last few years that a few TDs were caught breaching planning laws and there was absolutely no recourse? Even somebody with on board Planola, an official, was found to be guilty of making false declarations. But yet this poor man, Sean Meehan, is not allowed to live out his retirement on his own land. One rule for the elite and another for the peasants, I suppose. The whole country should make a ring around his place and protect and mind Sean Meehan. I suppose it just goes to show, it's another example really of how out of touch maybe politicians and political parties are. They would say, oh, there are rules and regulations and there's planning and you can't be just putting up anything you want wherever you want. Some country, Neil, unvetted migrants come in left, right and centre, and all of that is perfect. A fella builds himself a home and that's all wrong. What a shower we have running this country. They're an embarrassment. Well, some of those texts actually came in before we had a change in who's running this country in the shape of Leo Varadkar. Drive along the roads towards Mallow Roundabout and look at the modular home sitting in the car park at the Dutch Tulip and Hotel, says Sinead. It's an eye-opener. Remember all these council officials? Absolutely loyal to the main parties of government. It's just not TDs. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael at council and in the Dáil rule the roost. I'm sitting here in Yall watching Ukrainians waiting on a free bus back to Red Barn. Well done to Sean Meehan for standing his ground, says Mary and y'all. I sometimes worry about reading out texts like that as if anybody would maybe, because I'd be afraid that anybody might be say something or do something unkind to Ukrainians waiting for a free bus back to Red Barn. It's right to be annoyed and it's right to be angry. It's even right to feel disenfranchised or forgotten about. And it's right to feel a fool if you're a hard-working taxpayer with nothing to show for it. But I don't think we can be blaming. And I don't think you are either, Mary, in fairness to you, blaming Ukrainians. I understand that there's fierce division in society now, and, you know, people have a right to be angry and annoyed as to the amount of money that's been spent. I live in Botany Hill. For the last 2 years, travellers have bought land all around us, at least three sites, and they've all built on the sites themselves. They put up walls and gates around, and the council does absolutely nothing about it. It's fear, you see. Different rules for hard-working Irish people. I won't come on air for fear that they'll know who I am. So there are more examples of people, certain sections of the of society and the community, who just get on with whatever they want to do and don't have no fear, no favour from anyone. My blood is boiling. There are many gutless cretins in this country attacking the vulnerable yet again. It makes me ashamed to be Irish. You just couldn't make this up. Love the show as always, says Carolyn. I think she's suggesting there that the vulnerable would be Sean Meehan, a pensioner in his log cabin. There's no difference between his house and the travellers, or indeed modular homes. You'd never see them telling travellers to take them down, and they wouldn't even be on their own land like this man built. Makes no sense. I'm really starting to hate this country. I'm seriously thinking of leaving with my family. So that's just, I mentioned those because it was a conversation that we were having on air even up to yesterday before the Varadkar news broke. But just from this morning, he's not really gone though, is he? How much of the taxpayers' money is going to supplement Leo Varadkar's weekly pension payout? If he's pulling $2,000 a week until he dies, that's the biggest scandal. And there are children waiting on scoliosis waiting lists. It is time for a general election. Tell Colin Burke that the government didn't create the jobs. People create jobs, says John on the north side. I saw a really interesting text come in on the screen. I imagine it's printed at this stage from somebody who did actually get off his ass and start a business and got no help from anybody. I'll come to that at some stage. Fine Gael must be in a worse condition than we think. If Simon Harris is the best they can offer Neil, what's more likely is that the shrewder Fine Gael politicians are offering him up to the electorate as the sacrificial lamb, knowing as they do that Fine Gael are looking into a number of disastrous electoral campaigns up to and including the general election, says Richie. Ask them if Leo would be the right man to head up the new children's hospital, perhaps. Not quite sure what Leo's next move will be. I wonder what's coming down the line that Leo knows about that made him bail now. Remember Bertie bailing. What came soon after that, says Paddy. Nothing to see here, lads. Nothing to see here. I mean, I can't say 100%, but I think he'd had enough. I think he was just burned out and exhausted and just didn't want to do it anymore. You know, people leave jobs, I guess, and they get new jobs and they make career changes, don't they? Or am I naive? Text 0868-104-106.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868-104-106.
The Neil Prendeville Show. I've been threatening. On Red FM.
I've been threatening to do this for a few days now. I remember telling you, listening earlier in the week, came across a 2003 edition of the Evening Echo, and I went to the classifieds, and there are 12 columns of ads in 2003 on August the 7th. 12 columns across two pages, 25 ads per page for either flats or apartments, house shares or houses to let and properties to let. That is over 300 ads on a Thursday afternoon in the Echo. How did it get so bad 21 years later? And here are some of them. I've been threatening to do this, so just highlighted some of them. Release Claire did. Thank you, Claire. One large two-bedroom apartment, city centre, suits four people, €200 per week. €50 a week per person. That's a two-bedroom apartment with two double beds in it. Cargoline, single ensuite bed set, €70 per week, suit male. Bishopstown, single room available, lovely house, sharing with four others, €250 per month. Female wanted to share house in Wilton, €57 per week, your own room. Now you would be sharing with four people, perhaps, on two double beds in the room. And you'd be paying an awful lot more than €57 per week, I can tell you. City Centre, Wellington Road, room in a clean house, €280 per month. There were landlords falling over each other, tripping over each other, advertising properties. St. Luke's, own room, spacious house, €260 per month. Wow, you wouldn't get it for that now a week. 5 minutes walk, city centre, fabulous three-bedroom house, fully furnished, gas-fired central heating, all mod cons, front and rear garden, quiet area, €950 per month. Rock and roll, guys. Ballincollig, four-bed house, first let, brand new, all mod cons, suit professionals. Bishopstown, 4 beds, student house to let, newly refurbished, available from September, sleeps 7. Blackpool, 3-bedroom house to let. Blackrock, 3-bedroom house, terrace house, available €950 per month. Blarney, 2-bed house. Ducloyne, Toker, 4-bed house, €800 per month to rent. Douglas, 4-bed, first let, all the mod cons, suit professionals. Do they still say that? Suit professionals. Professional what? Professional ball hopper? Deer Park, 4- and 5-bedroom apartments to rent. Loads of them, apparently. Commons Road, new 3-bed semi, first letting, conservatory attached, €850 per month. The average 3-bedroom in 2003 that was available for let, fully furnished, all the mod cons, seems to be €850 a month back in 2003. Coachford, house to let. Cove, town centre, 4-bedroom house, fully furnished, except rent allowance. Loads of them, like literally loads of them. Bright Valley View, Blarney, Carrigaline, Carrigtool, Dominic Street, loads in the city centre. Glanmire, Frankfield, a fabulous 3-bed new house, Lehenamore and Toker. Evergreen Road, Tower, Wilton, Yall. It just goes on and on. Merview, Lawn and Ballyvillan. Monkstown, Pembroke Woods and Passage West. €780 per month. 3-bedroom semi, fully furnished. All the mod cons, landscape, back garden, decking. Wow. How was it so different back then? Anyway, I just passed it on. That's just a little bit of research, looking at what was available 20 years ago. I know it's a long time ago, I guess, but something happened in the interim. What was it? Anthony, good morning. No, not on line one. No, we can maybe try again. I've got him now. Anthony, morning. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Good morning, Neil.
Morning. How are you?
Nice to talk to you again.
And you too. So, been a lot of water under the bridge since this time yesterday morning. Your thoughts?
Neil, I think people are really being very, very unfair. And I mean, I'm pushing on 40 now in the wrong direction. And I can never remember such a unique Taoiseach that totally embarrassed us in 10 Downing Street with the British Prime Minister, that totally embarrassed us and put up on social media that he was jogging with the French President Trudeau and they had matching socks, and wrote to Kylie Minogue and signed off Leo V. I mean, he was a totally unique piece of people are very hard on him. There was never anybody like him and never will be again, I hope.
Well, it just... Here's Anthony being quite tongue-in-cheek of a Thursday morning, or maybe even a little
he's
bit sarcastic.
Going to be such a laugh.
But he, I mean, all of those things, actually, all of those things are kind of warm and cuddly to me, and you kind of say, ah, well, that's just the fact that he's just human like the rest of us.
Well, Neil, I'm
drinking cans of music, drinking cans at
Neil,
a music
I'm
festival topless during COVID.
I'm going to take a picture now later on, loading up my dishwasher and my batch cooked food in the fridge and a picture of that.
We saw the inside of his fridge. He's one of us. He was of the
people. And then I'm going to complain. Oh, I'm getting too much attention. Why is everybody attacking me?
Well, he's not necessarily saying that. I mean, we had Charlie Haughey getting handmade shirts by Charvet in Paris and being paid by the taxpayer for the privilege. And
Leo Varadkar
is getting down and dirty with the rest of us then, drinking... I know he was drinking cans during lockdown and COVID and shouldn't have been, but he got away with that one. But it showed that he was human and let he without sin, etc.
To me, he wasn't human. And all jokes aside, I know it's good to have a bit of a crack and a bit of a laugh because, like I said, it's like an episode of Tales of the Unexpected. To me, I have the box set. I don't even have to watch it. No, I'm living it in this country.
Your text calls the whole lot of them are people like him. Trendy snowflakes. What is a snowflake? Yes. What is a snowflake?
Why, like, I suppose, you're after distracting me now. But what I was going to say was, I just can't understand how that man, he was our Taoiseach, how that man could stand up in the Dáil yesterday and could say he's very proud of what he did, I'm very proud of COVID, I'm very proud of the hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians that he brought into the country, yet 2 months ago, he said, oh, we have to put a stop now to the Ukrainians and we misjudged the whole situation and we're going to put restrictions on them. Yeah. And yet he stood up, he had the balls to stand up yesterday in the Dáil and say he was very proud of how he treated the Ukrainians.
Are we all in disagreement with the likes of Leo Varadkar when he says that they handled COVID very well, for instance, just as an example?
Well, we're hearing about people we know. There was children at the time that couldn't go to school. There was young people that couldn't go to university. There was elderly people that died in care homes and they couldn't have their family.
I know that.
There had people died. I had relatives that died. I couldn't go to their funeral.
But I suppose it's COVID. It's COVID killed them, you know what I mean? That's the sad thing about it.
We handled it very well. I don't think there was any need for the restrictions, and I think that's been looked into now still to this day. So he boasted about COVID, how we had dealt with COVID, and he boasted about the Ukrainians and how brilliant he was to them. But here you are now, take a kick up the ass, and in future you're not getting anything, and you're going to get the same money as anyone else, and you have to go out and look for a place, even though there's nowhere to live, but we'll still bring you into the country.
Yeah.
And he actually had the nerve to say that to the public, to the Irish people, to the world. And we all know the actual truth. I mean, is that somebody that you could respect? I mean, none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes, but you don't go out and tell not one lie, but two lies, and claim that you're perfect and that you're just bowing out. And
some do believe that the government did handle COVID as best they could. I know there was awful tragedy. God knows we heard enough of them on the air from people who lost loved ones or looking through windows of people passing away in nursing homes. I know that. But businesses, to some extent, through COVID survived. A lot of the debt was warehoused. The VAT was warehoused. There was pandemic payments for workers. Oh, the taxpayer paid for all of this. I know. Other countries did the same thing. They did it in the UK. I know that too. But it could have been an awful lot worse.
And Neil, on top of that as well, just to be relevant, that's something else I want to bring up. Oh, he was fantastic. He went over and he gave the shamrock and the usual paddy whackery to Biden. Biden that doesn't even know his own name or what day it is. And
not very fair to say that if the man is having them issues with memory loss,
he analysed him. That was a professional said that he didn't even know what a fax machine was, and that was a fortnight ago. So
I'm just pushing your button now on this. Is it right to make fun of somebody who's getting on, and Biden's quite old now, who's having memory issues and possibly has a touch of dementia?
Is it right for us to be a laughing stock for the planet?
I can't allow anybody to call other people liars.
He went to the White House, supposed to be representing Ireland, and spoke to Joe Biden, and we have to end this war in Gaza, and we have to stop this, and we have to stop that. And Biden, nod, nod, yes, yes, yes. And Biden, we all know, the whole world knows, everybody in Ireland and the whole world knows that Biden is funding Israel
to bomb
Gaza.
Yeah, yeah, it's American weapons.
Shaking hands and everybody, nobody knows anything about anything. Let's just all carry on like normal, like an episode of Father Ted, and it's fantastic.
Mm. Mm.
Like Mrs. Doyle ignoring Jack in the corner.
I would have thought that maybe...
That's Leo Varadkar's legacy. And sorry, I have absolutely no sympathies for him. He probably is burnt out because, I mean, you can't be a politician and do your social media as much as he does.
You think that he has the research in already to say this is the best time to get out because there's going to be carnage ahead in the locals, the Europeans, and whatever next general election when it comes, this is the time to go, man, because you're going to get burned.
Yeah, and because they went out of touch. And actually, Colin Burke is a good representative. There were good people in Fine Gael. And I remember, you remember Gary Fitzgerald. He was a great Prime Minister.
We lived in very different times. It's like me reading out the houses and properties for rent in 2003, you know? You could say, oh my God, there were great days. But 2003 then...
Neil, is that really an excuse? No, you live in different times. We all live in different times. I know, you know, if you put something up on social media, a picture of yourself or doing something or whatever, or share your batch cooking in the fridge or whatever, you know you're going to get a backlash. I mean, he's aware of that. He's not like he's planted here from the 1970s.
Is that a kind of a woke snowflake lifestyle then, is it?
You reap what you sow. You can't claim that you don't know you're going to get a backlash. We all know you're going to get a backlash.
But just because somebody puts up batch cooking, right, does not entitle anybody else to you know, call them names or abuse them or behave in a kind of a trolling, toxic way.
I'm not excusing abusive behaviour, but I'm just saying, if you're willing to overshare every intimate detail of your life down to your last bowel motion, you're going to expect that people are going to comment on it, good, bad or ugly. That's what you were signed up for. When you share it, when you put it up there, you know that's what you're going to get.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if you're the Prime Minister or the Taoiseach or the President of America. That's what you sign up for. Once it's out there in public, it's there.
Okay.
And even if it's not out there in public, like poor Kate Middleton, she's getting a Brazilian bum lift. She was abducted by aliens. She got plastic surgery. She was treated for alcoholism.
The photographs aren't her. It's a doppelganger, somebody standing in for her. So if that's the case, when she's photographed with William, is somebody standing in for him as well? Like Putin has a double act. I wonder if Kate and William have double acts.
Probably, but like I said, and Leo will be remembered now. And he will be remembered, his legacy, going over, talking to Biden the Butcher and pretending that there was going to be peace and like Biden would even take any notice of what Ireland would say and this lovely, happy, clappy relationship we have with America, and we should be so grateful to America. Well, if our tax regime changed, I think you'd find America wouldn't be so friendly and all the multi... conglomerates.
Sure, that's going to change with the Don, isn't it? That'll change with the Don.
Mm-hmm.
I think America.
Yeah, and maybe he might be the worst, but.
It's for another day.
I don't know, Neil.
Thanks, Anthony.
We can't.
Stay in touch. Take care. I found that text actually from the one who set up his own business. He says, I want to pick you up there and regarding your conversation with Colin Burke. I'm a Fine Gael voter, but I created 23 jobs since 2011 in my business. I did that by working hard 7 days a week, not Colin and his gang helping me. They didn't. Colm referenced Apple, a multi-billion euro company. Colm and his gang applied the same employment laws, the same tax laws to me, whereas he did with Apple. I don't make millions and I don't have Apple's resources, so he should not be comparing. Wake up, Colm. The Law Society and the government are all one bubble and 100% out of touch. Yeah, and what's even more exasperating is Apple are mad keen to pay us tax money that the Irish government just don't want to take. I'm surprised at some of your comments regarding Leo Varadkar, Neil. The man is up there as one of the worst leaders in our country. He's left our country in tatters. He was nothing more than a celebrity Taoiseach. He brought his personal life into the office. He proudly stated on the steps that he has changed the lives of children for the better. How dare he? A general election has to be called to let the people decide, says Tony. Keep those texts coming. Text 0868 104 106.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Gavin Riley is compiling a spreadsheet of sitting Fine Gael TDs, senators and councillors this morning who have backed Simon Harris on various channels. At the moment, 21, which is 26.3% of sitting Fine Gael politicians, including Cork's TD Colin Burke, who announced it on our show, is amongst those that are backing Simon Harris. He's already passed the quota of endorsements that he needs to be put forward as the next leader of Fine Gael. So it looks as if that's it, really. It's Simon Harris. And thereafter, when they vote in the Dáil, they'll vote as a pact, of course, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens. And that means that he will be elected as well as Taoiseach. I don't think you get any odds now at this stage from the bookies on him not being. Talking about the pact, anyone that praises this pact, Neil, has never been on a hospital trolley for days on end, says Anthony, which is a good point. Does Neil not remember Micheál Martin telling him that Neil had no humanity over his questioning Micheál Martin on migration? We look forward to Micheál Martin eating humble pie when Neil has him back on. We are third-class citizens in our country. No, I wouldn't be expecting that. I wouldn't be going after any kind of like humble pie with regards to that. I was just making the point to him at the time when he said that what really amounts to in Ireland is being what we have amounts to an open border policy. Our borders are wide open to those that come here whether they go through the correct process or not. And I was saying to him that that was unsustainable, the kind of open border policy. It subsequently now seems as if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and even the Greens tend to start to agree with that, because they completely changed their tune over the past couple of months. You could see it, like it happened really quickly. Delighted to hear that Leo the Leek has resigned. It made my day yesterday, says Mary Jane. You probably don't know this, says somebody else, but it was Mick Barry that got Leo Varadkar to resign. It was Mick Barry brought about those referendums, so Mick Barry can claim it. Oh, I see your pals, Neil, your pals, the Shinners, never hold leadership elections. They do what they are told. Every time I see a text like that, it just makes me laugh and smile, because like it's like hunting with the hare, like hunting the hare and running with the hounds. Really, I can't ever win, but I always smile when people say your pals the Shinners, like that as if I'm of the Sinn Féin persuasion. I mean, On what basis would you make that decision? They wasted millions on a referendum. Meanwhile, children with bent spines are crying in pain. Get them out. Yeah, it's like as if those that we get out and replace them with others would actually make any difference, do you think? We're bombarded by Sinn Féin, Labour and Independents about what all this what-ifery and all the great things that they would do, but none of them act on their plans because they haven't a solution between them. The Shinners, Labour or the Independents, they're full of bluff and bluster. God help us if the Shinners got a chance to rule, says Mary. Now that he's gone, let him take the other two with him. People need an election. Europe is the only thing that interests Leo Varadkar, not the Irish. Just look at our hospitals. Keep them coming. Text 0868104106. While all that is happening, and I will come back to it throughout the course of the next couple of days, I was talking yesterday and over the past few days with the good people from St. Anthony's Road, the good people at Noonan's Road. I was referencing on air Glenamoy Lawn up on the north side, Mayfield area, Ard Valia, the conditions in which tenants have to live in. It's a story that I'll be revisiting on Monday when I have the chief executive of Cork City in studio. That would be Anne Doherty. I have said it in the past. I believe that the worst slum landlord of them all happens to be Cork City Council in the way they treat the tenants I've just mentioned there. Now, they'll say that these things take time to get right, and we're on a journey, and we're going through a process, and we'll get there. But the issues up in Ard Valia and indeed Glenamoy Lawn have been going on with people freezing and sick in these flats and apartments that they live in. One chap yesterday with an electricity bill of over €1,000 for a flat, such as the cold. Don't even know if it's an accurate bill, to be honest. But that's the kind of issue, really, that just boils my blood to see the way tenants are treated. It's like as if they're just completely and utterly forgotten, like as if they're invisible. So it prompted actually an update from C Money, who was on the air with us some time ago and joins me again by WhatsApp. C Money, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, pal? You couldn't talk yesterday because you were working. I appreciate that, but you took it upon yourself. Firstly, are you in a Cork City Council property?
Yes.
Okay. They're your landlords. Okay. So you took it upon yourself then to go out and buy yourself a new washing machine, is it?
Yeah, because the one that I've been here is over 10 years old. It was installed by the landlord initially. Actually, the house was with Raz.
Okay.
Raz.
Yeah.
Then the city council took it over, and then we continued making the contributions. But the washing machine packed up, so I had to get a new one, and then I paid their couriers to come and install it.
Okay, a lot of people would say, why wouldn't you get on to the landlord, who would be Cork City Council, to come out and replace it? But you didn't do that, no?
Well, I think I went through the list, and I believe I'm supposed to replace the wash machine. I'm not sure they're supposed to buy a new wash machine for me.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you were in private accommodation as a private tenant in a private rental property, you wouldn't be buying the washing machine. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. You went to Currys and bought it.
Yeah. Yeah, so they couldn't install it when they got here. So the maintenance guys that came to install it told me that, look, the piping is complex, that if they try to do anything now, they will flood the house. So that they will refund me my money and I should get in touch with the landlords. And that was in December.
And so Currys brought the washing machine. I didn't know that they install as well, in fairness to them, do they?
Yeah, they can if you pay. I paid 50 euros and they came. They actually came to the house
okay.
to deliver it and install it. But okay. they just delivered it. So it's been in my living room since then. And we've been washing at the laundromat. But each week I call, I send emails, and nothing has been done. And, you know, to add,
it's simple.
To pile on my misery.
It's simple to fit a washing machine. I fitted half a dozen of them.
I wish I could. I would have done it myself.
All right. Well, like, I mean, have you pulled out the old one?
No, the old one is still there. They tried to pull it out, and they said if they pull it out, the whole house will be flooded, and it, you know, it will be a worse problem that I should contact. Because what they said was, the house, initially, the piping system is complex. Kind of, when they were installing the wash machine, all the pipes were embedded in the wall. So for them to reach it, they'll have to, you know, break a few things.
I don't know. Maybe that sounds the weirdest installed washing machine I've ever come across. There are two hoses. One is hot, one is cold. One is marked red, one is marked blue. You attach them to the red and blue input and you twist them and you tighten them. Then there's a hose, and the hose goes into a pipe that's standing up out of the concrete. That's for the wastewater. You shove that pipe down the tube. You push it all back in the wall. You turn it on and the washing machine works. Simple.
Yeah, I can do these things myself. I do a lot of DIY myself.
Come on, man, let's do it together. Come on, let's get it sorted. No, you got 16 minutes to get it done.
I wish I'll be listening in on Monday, and I hope if you get hold of the chief executive, I will really want to know what their response will be. I was listening to yesterday, and it seemed like, I mean, of course, I know I'm not the only one in this, but the stories about all the housing projects yesterday
were so sad. No, I know. And I know it's serious. Currys came along and said, you need the permission of the landlord to fit this. They gave you the refund. It's been sitting there. You're logging and logging and logging the issue with City Council. Nobody answers. The shower is now broke. The shower is now broken.
So, and they sent in one person here. He came and said, it's a plumbing problem. I said, good. Possibly the plumber will come and then do the two things together. Since then, no one. Actually, I was at home one day and I just heard something slipping through my mailbox. I saw a card and there was a note from the maintenance guy that they came along. I was in my house. Nobody pressed the bell. Nobody knocked. They have two phone numbers. I'm frank with you. I'm being honest. They have two phone numbers, mine and my wife.
So they slipped the card in. They never knocked at the door or rang the bell.
Yes.
For God's sake.
And this was on the 21st. But it was dated 20th.
So did you run out to see if they were getting in a van or anything like that?
I did, but I didn't see the guy.
So they legged it really fast. Just throw the note in or the,
yes,
sorry you were out when we
I
called.
They came.
Ah, that's terrible. It's cutting altogether. Ah, that's bad. So I've been in touch
with my local councillor too, but he said he will make an effort to reach them and then get back to me. Well, I sent him a reminder yesterday, and I'm hoping he will reach me.
Okay, so how do you wash now? How are you having an?
We go to the laundromat every weekend.
But you can't climb into the washing machine. But how are you washing yourself?
Well, I still use the bucket like I'm in Nigeria. I use the bucket. What will I do there? And my kids, it's so terrible for my kids because I don't mind. I go to the gym almost on a daily, so I shower in my gym. But my kids, well, they have to wake up.
It is serious. It's another example of landlords not pulling their weight and sorting things out. It's just because they're so big and so powerful. They just don't have to, you see. That's the problem. You know, if we were
it's
a woman.
It's terrible. Yeah. But, you know, the simplest thing I keep asking. Can they give me a timeline, an estimated date, instead of keeping me in limbo and I keep calling every week?
I know. You'd be better off
when
just
I drop,
getting your
when
own.
I drop with you now, I'll still call them.
Yeah.
I'll get the same answer.
Well, you know, you can continue to wait or you can dig into your own savings and get your own plumber to fix the
That is the way I'm looking at it. I'm not able to get help by putting this on air and, you know, reaching my counselor again, I will be forced to do it myself.
I'm happy to maybe help you out with the shower, but I really want you to have a go at the washing machine yourself.
I will try. I just hope I don't flood the house.
Oh my God. Don't, yeah, okay. So you blame me then. If you flood the house, I'll be the blame for it, is it?
No, I won't.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it should be very straightforward to install a washing machine. But if it's complicated or just involved Kango hammer, stay away from it.
They all come with the installation manual. It's something I know I can do myself. Yeah, I'll try.
Oh God, I don't know about that. I'm sort of half regretting offering you advice on the matter.
It's not something I can handle.
Will you give it a go?
I'll try. I will over the weekend. I'll try.
Okay. Hold on there a second. I'm gonna take an ad break. I'll come back to you in 1 second. Hold on. Okay.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
All right, text 0868104106. I got Ben here. Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
You know a lot about this kind of stuff, right? You don't want to give out the company name or anything. Just Simone. Yep. Simone could actually install his own washing machine, couldn't he? Like,
you'll saw bolts in the back of it as well.
Oh, yeah, there are bolts that that clamp the drum, don't they? They have to be unscrewed.
Correct.
Feckage, you see, I wouldn't have told him anything about that now, and he destroyed the washing machine and flooded the house. God almighty, I forgot the bolts.
Yep.
But other than that, it's straightforward, though.
Other than that, it's straightforward, yeah.
Okay, but do you want to do it for him?
I can do, yeah. I can do.
How long would it take?
Maybe half an hour.
All right, okay. And a push. Are you any good then? Are you any good with showers? Because he's washing out of cold water.
No. You're an electrician. You need an electrician for showers.
Do you
and
really?
A plumber. You do, because the power to plumbing is wired, you see.
Oh, my God. Stay away from that, Simone. Don't go near the shower.
The electrician came here and said it's a plumbing issue. They sent an electrician here. He came here, opened the shower, and said it's a plumbing issue.
Will you have a look at it, Ben, while you're there, will you?
I'll have a look.
All right, well, at least we've solved your predicament with regards to the washing machine and possibly the shower as well, Simone, okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I can give you my contact.
You're very kind. Listen, Ben, you're very kind.
You're very good.
Make sure you have the kettle on, Simone, and maybe a nice piece of Chester cake or something when he arrives, all right? Look after him.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay.
Let me know how it goes. Thank you, Ben. You're very kind. Much obliged to you. Thanks as well. Stay in touch, Simone. Let me know how you get on. If you get it sorted with Ben, well and good. Meanwhile, hands up anybody here who knows how to install a washing machine? Come here. What are you? Like, you're in your 30s now. You're joking me. You can't... You wouldn't know how?
Look, I come from a generation where, if something goes wrong, you're better off at getting somebody who knows what they're doing than to try and chance yourself. Because if it goes wrong, you'll end up paying more for it than you did to begin with. That's my feeling on it. So, if it's a case of, like, I was saying to you I know the theory of it. But, Neil, like, I once tried replacing a door regulator, you know. So, like, I have an Audi, right? You know, it's like, it's an old one. It's not one of the brand spanking new ones.
I won't go near a car. I accept that.
And it has, the window, the window regulator. For pulling up and down, right? Yeah. That went on the blink.
Yeah.
Okay, so I ended up trying to replace it myself, thinking that was a great idea.
No, that's a very specialist.
I replaced it myself, but I thought, but you see, Neil, you go on YouTube, right? You search YouTube videos. It's all so easy.
There's things that I can do now because I've watched the video.
So simple, right? So I'm myself convinced. So easy, this thing, right? Just take off the door panels, replace the regulator. Pop the new one in, get the regulator on thing, you'll save yourself a fortune, right? Three regulators, about 1,000 curse words, 2 hours and one brother later, and it was back down to the mechanic to get him to do it properly.
Well, at least the only thing I can say to you is well done for trying.
You have to, though.
Installing a washing machine is so straightforward.
I know, but it's like I'd be the kind of person that would fire away into it, but then, take the thing out and forget to turn off the water and flood the house. You know, like I'd be so keen to get it done. I kind of skip through things. I'm not very methodical, I just I feel a great topic
coming on, maybe for tomorrow. We come up with some nice prize for the greatest DIY disaster of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Get texting on that, guys, your DIY disaster. Have a think about what we might create as a prize for this. And we'll see what happens between now and tomorrow. But get sharing with regards to your DIY disaster stories. Text to 0868104106. It doesn't necessarily have to be you. It could be a loved one or a friend or something that somebody took on and made a complete balls and a hames of it. You can also email Neil at redfm.ie, and we'll come back to that. Anyway, thank you, Ben. As always, Cork people, the best. He's going to help out Simone and maybe even the showers. I love that story that the maintenance people come along. They don't knock on the door. They don't ring on the bell. They just slip the card in saying, we called and you were out, and he's inside waiting for them. That is exasperating. Text 0868104106. I can't read out all of the texts with regards to Leo Varadkar or politicians, because some of them are just downright rude and too nasty. As close as I can go is maybe somebody saying that Leo Varadkar is pompous and has an arrogant attitude. I won't say any more than that, and is too far removed from Irish people and their needs and their wants. The only Taoiseach who actually did a worse job as leader was actually Micheál Martin. They solved problems by throwing taxpayers' hard-earned money at the problems, then taxed us more to balance their books. He knew he had to go after the shambles he made of the referendums and the heavy defeat they took. He still decided to stay and squeeze an old trip to America for Patrick's Day, although he's an embarrassment to us as a country. Now, you see, why would you say that? Like, he'll leave me no loss at all. P.S. God help us if Simon Harris is our next Taoiseach. I mean, criticism is all well and good, but isn't that just a little bit too far? Martin McGrann Coveney fought, forget the first rule of politics, Neil. All politics is local. They've done more for Dublin than they've done for Cork, and they'll pay for it in the end, says Pa. Everyone is wearing tracksuits now? That was my sister and her partner's observation on the change in Cork when they returned for a visit after years living on the other side of the world. We must all be very sporty here. Even Varadkar's on the run now, says Sean. Now, you could talk all day about that, about the changing fashion sense. I was making the point, really, that a lot of the high streets now, and I noticed it down in Mahon, anchor tenants are now sports shops. So maybe it's because people just find them. Firstly, they're probably a lot more fashionable now. Sporting wear. And it isn't just tracksuits. It's a whole range of clothing that is available. And maybe people just like it for comfort and price. I don't know. You can't change style or fashion. Anyway, keep those texts coming. Text 0868104106. Pick up the phone on 0818104106. And another few texts before I leave you for the day that's in it. And much of it to do with Colm Burke this morning. Colm says 6,000 people are working in Apple now. How many are Irish? Does it really matter? Neil is exactly right with what he's saying regarding Colm Burke. I'm a Fine Gael voter, but I created 23 jobs since 2020. Oh, there's that text that I saw on the screen. The person who created all the jobs since they opened a business in 2011 got no help from anybody. Things are not like people think in Australia. You talk about people going over there, starting a new life. It's not as you may think with regards to work and jobs. It's almost impossible to get anything out there anymore. I have a friend on the way home after trying Australia for 6 months, says Joe. What do you mean, Joe, when you say it's almost impossible to get anything? Are you saying like somewhere to live or a job? Text 0868104106 on that one. I find it hilarious that the excuse for no housing is that they can't get enough workers. That's what was said this morning. I don't know, I think it might have been Colin Burke said that. If there's no housing, then there cannot be more workers. Just stop building small houses. Take ownership. Build vertically, like any other normal city in the world. Build into the sky. Well, isn't that what's going to happen down in the Docklands? I think we're going to have something like 100, maybe 150,000 more people living in Cork in the next decade. Where are they going to live? That's the actual challenge. The tunnel is jammed. Traffic is jammed. Why? Because the government is useless and incompetent. A poor lady is stuck in a brand new car in the middle of the tunnel. The car obviously packed up. I couldn't help her and I had to drive around her. There should be a tow truck at the tunnel 24/7, any other country, and that lady would be dragged out to a safe spot within minutes. The cost to the taxpayer to cover the cost of a 24-hour tow truck is next to nothing. But yet here we are, stuck, burning unnecessary smoke and fuel, stuck in the tunnel, everybody late for work, sick people missing doctors and hospital appointments. It all amounts to a serious amount of money and waste. Leo packed in yesterday for a few reasons, he said. Here's to another ABC problem that a child could deal with in minutes, the backup in the tunnel. But stupidity continues in everything in Ireland, and we keep voting these dumb asses back into power. I leave you with that one, in the sense that Leo Varadkar is resigning and is to blame for a tunnel jam up where a woman's car cut out. I don't mean to be sarcastic about it. I'm just saying, have a good day. I'll see you tomorrow.
When Cork talks,
Cork people blow my mind.
They talk to Neil Prendeville
on Red FM.